All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to NLA's weekly call. Today is Monday, November 3rd, 2014. It looks like Shake and Wake is down. It's been down for a few hours now, so I don't know when they're going to come back up. So we won't be broadcasting off of them tonight. But anyway, we're going to go forward. We'll start off tonight. We're going to be reading Proverbs chapter 8, and then we'll get right into things. Give me a minute to get to the page. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8, I think we're looking at. Yep. Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, the right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rules, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest placed upon the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, that he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. Proverbs chapter 9. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, let's get started. One of the things we want to cover quickly is the media campaign. For those who are not aware of that, we have a media campaign going on. We're going to put that into full bore starting Monday. So I'm going to start to put some pressure to really get some conclusions going and focuses going on the media campaign, some of the decisions and some of the writings. We have to set up a lot of different potential tweets and get them up online for people to start tweeting particular messages so we can get some, get really our message to go viral, ultimately. We're trying to put some things together for blogs. As mentioned before, we have some journalists with us, and we also are looking to put together email messages, Facebook messages, and we're looking to everybody that listens in, everybody that, of course, is a member of NLA. We have quite a few thousands of people who are members of NLA, so they alone should be able to get this message to really go viral. And the message, of course, will be focused all in on the Kuwanta that we're going to be filing Monday, as a matter of fact. But in any event, we have to get everybody active in doing this. We have tens of thousands of people that have been watching, that are sitting on the sidelines, haven't made a decision to join us yet. I sort of hope that a lot of them will finally join over when we give the free course. And you won't be able to take the free course unless you sign up. So you have to be signed up on NLA to take the course. But we're hoping to build up a lot of membership with that free course also. But the key to the free course, of course, is really to get knowledge to the people. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. So we have to really get the message out of education. We need to lead people to our front page, nationallibertyalliance.org. Get them to read the front page and watch the video, and they'll pretty much figure everything else about us. That tells our whole story, that front page and the video. That sets the stage on who we are the people. Everybody should go out to nationallibertyalliance.org and highlight media, click on media campaign, and read that page, get involved. They'll be meeting tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have anybody that's going into the group for the first time, they should get in early. The room opens up at 8 to start taking registration. They want to register people. And then get involved in the conversation. Off of that same page, you'll find a link that goes over to a meetup group, which is meetup.com, National Liberty Alliance. And we have conversations taking place over there also in the different various rooms that we have open over there for this purpose. This is going to be our success or no success. It's all going to count now on the people. It's going to count on the people, the groups of each state, to get the message out, first and foremost, the Kuwanta to the courts, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then, to get the message out to the people to look at the Kuwanta, to realize what's going on, to get behind what we're doing. Elections are coming to an end, and as soon as that happens, now is the time to go out and get the Liberty groups involved in what we're doing. What they're doing in the elections and the different things and trying to stop different things, it's all good. They shouldn't stop that. But they definitely should be involved with us and get behind us and support us, especially when we call out for the numbers and we need the people to respond. We'll be putting a page up soon for court watchers, and this will be very, very helpful. Those people are in court, have to go to court. If we can establish this across the nation pretty strongly as far as membership in the court watchers group, at least up until the time we get into common law, we will have people available to come to your court case with you and become witnesses and we can support each other through that group. Also, after we're in process and things are going, we probably should always have some court watchers, someone sitting in the court and checking up on things and reporting back. So people who want to get involved with that, they'll be able to volunteer into that process also as soon as we set it up. Hopefully we'll set that up soon. Let's see. The Quo Vanto, we anticipate filing it this coming Monday. So we will release it this Monday, or maybe we'll release it over the weekend. I'm not sure yet. And it'll be posted up on nationallibertyalliance.org. There'll be a link on the front page to it. Our message to the judiciary, we'll probably call it, and it'll be the Quo Vanto. It will be found on our news media page, news page, breaking news, and this is the one that we want to get out. This is the message we want to get out. This is what we've been waiting for, to get to this message. We did a video on this, which will also be released on Monday. That video will be on our front page below the first video, which gives an introduction to what it is we're doing. And then the second video will be a video talking about the Quo Vanto. I think it's about 40 minutes long. I think right now it's 38 minutes, but I want to add maybe another 2 minutes or so. So it'll be about 40, 42 minutes long. And this is it. This is the message we want to get out to the people. This should be the thing to really, rock their doors up there on the Supreme Court, on the federal courts. This Quo Vanto is going to every single federal district court and every single federal district judge, and it's being sent to them from within the states. Every state will be sending out the Quo Vanto to their district and judges and district courts. And it'll bear their name and bear their address. We have 48 states involved. Right now at this point, we do not have Kentucky, and we do not have Alaska, but we're not waiting any longer. We're going forward. Anybody in here from Kentucky or Alaska that would like to pick up the point for that, get into the queue and let us know. We'll get you on board. We'll need a mailing address soon. We'll discuss all those details if we can find somebody. And then we'll have the printer print out Kentucky or Alaska or both if we can get someone to do it. But we're going ahead with the 48 states. It'd be nice to go with 49 or 50 if we can get that done tonight. It must be done tonight if we're going to do it. All of the information is to the printer. Things are in motion. It's anticipated to have this stuff going out by the end of the week to the states. It'll be delivered directly to their post office boxes. That's where you'll pick up these packages. At some point soon, maybe this week, a price will be established on the cost, and we'll let everyone know what it will cost per state for all the printing and stuff. I don't know, $40, $30, $50, I don't know. But it's not going to be terribly expensive. And that will go out, like I said before, this week is out. We're kind of hoping to get it out that people will have it on Monday. And Monday is when you'll be putting it into the mail, Monday or Tuesday. Basically, you'll get a package. You'll have all of the stacks of the Quo Vanto with the attachments stapled. Each one will be stapled, so they'll be separated already. You'll get the envelopes to put them in. You'll get the labels to put on the envelopes, return label, and the label going to a judge or a court. Nothing special. They're all the same. They're generically set up for the fact that it's being said. It says that it's being filed, and it's being given. It's being filed with every federal district court, and it's being served on every federal district judge. So it's kind of generic, but it'll have the state's address on the top and the name of the state. For instance, South Carolina, Unified South Carolina Common Law Grand Jury, or Texas or New York or whatever the state may be. And also, from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, we will be sending out the same papers to every federal district court. We're not going to send it out to every judge. There's too many judges for us to do that. Last time, it cost us quite a bit of money to do that. We're not going to do that again, but we're going to send it to all the federal district judges, courts. Every state will send a copy of this to the United States Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., and every state will send a copy of this to all nine of the Supreme Court justices up there in Washington, D.C. So Scalia and Thomas and Roberts and all the others, and also the clerk of the court, will receive, in this case, 49 papers. They will receive from all 48 states, two missing, Kentucky and Alaska, and they will also receive the same from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. So they'll receive 59 copies of this. I think this will make the message clear that the line is being drawn in the sand, that the people are gathering together lawfully with the power of the pen and the power of the people to take their nation back. I think it's going to be a pretty big earthquake up there, not only on Capitol Hill, but across the nation from the federal judges. They will finally see that it's not just coming from New York, that it's coming from every state in the union. And the message is in the Quanto. Like I said, we're going to release that as soon as we can. I don't want to get it out too prematurely, but if we know we're mailing it, if we know it's going out in the mail this weekend, and once it's in the mail, I'd be happy to release it maybe a day or two after it's in the mail, because then I'll be knowing that people are receiving it and sending it out. It also ends with orders, what they have to do. One of the orders, of course, is to sign a mandamus. We'll be attaching a mandamus to it. The mandamus is an order from the United States Supreme Court justices and from all the federal district court judges to all judges and clerks and oath takers of the land to obey the law specifically, and we're going to lay that out. And we're going to read that also next week, next Monday. So I would say by latest on Monday, it will be posted. It will be. We'll read it next Monday, and we'll start. We'll release the video on Monday, and the campaign we're going to be shooting to have in full swing by Monday, which means we need to start now getting people out to the website. So I'll try to get onto the call tomorrow with those who are having the meeting to discuss other ideas and to try to see where we're at with some completed ideas so that we can start to go forward this week with the campaign. Okay. Last week I spoke about the 2 cents mailing, and I told people I was going to do some research. Others have done some research and given me some information. And I'm coming up to a blank wall on this, and I'm asking for others. I just haven't got time to research anymore. I can't find this information I'm looking for. One of the things I did find was 18 U.S. Code 1726, postage collected unlawfully. And it says this, whoever being a postmaster or other person authorized to receive the postage of mail matter fraudulently demands or receives any rate of postage or gratitude or reward other than it is provided by law of the posters of such mail matter, such be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 6 months or both. Now, what I've been told is that the United, and I wouldn't doubt this, by the way, what I've been told is that the United States Post Office was sold to a French corporation during the Nixon administration. They only operate on behalf of the U.S. government. However, the laws regarding the cost of postage may never be rescinded, repealed, or amended. Never. That's what it says here. The law requires that all 1/2 ounce letters be delivered anywhere in the continental U.S. for 2 cents. So if you have a 1 ounce to mail out, it's going to cost you 4 cents. So the average letter is probably 4 cents. Now, I don't doubt this. I believe this is true. I think I know that the post office is no longer owned by the United States, by the people themselves. I've heard this many times, so I wasn't sure whether I heard a French corporation or whatever. I don't think I heard that, but in any event, doesn't matter. And I've also been hearing about this 2 cents thing for a long time, this 4 cents, 2 cents thing. Now, what they're citing is 12 STAT, which I presume means statute, 12 Stat 701, Chapter 71. And it's an act to amend the law relating to the Post Office Department, be it enacted by the Senate and House Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that the postmaster shall have the power to appoint and commission all postmasters whose salary or compensation not the preceding fiscal year shall at the time of such appointment have been ascertained to be less than $1,000 per year. Okay? That's very interesting. This was written quite some time ago when we had real money out there. Obviously, they get a lot more than $1,000 a year. But nevertheless, this is the law. It has never been changed, if this is true, if it has never been changed. And that's what we need to research out. And I think it is true that when this was enacted, it was assumed to work off the silver and the gold, well, the gold standard particularly, of course, mostly silver in our country, but we're all on the gold standard. And now, of course, once you come off the gold standard, particularly, and you use monopoly money, you have what's called inflation. We knew that before we went off onto monopoly money. We knew that in the beginning of our nations. Our founding fathers were very much aware of this. They were struggling with money back in the colonies, and they had all kinds of different ideas. They tried all kinds of things, only to return back to gold and silver. When this nation was set up, it was set up that nothing but gold and silver will be accepted for legal tender. Nothing, no state will accept anything else. And yet we have monopoly money out there. In any event, we probably had some people of integrity back who wrote this stuff, and they made it clear, and they sealed it into gold and silver. So let's read on. I think it's in this area. Let me see. I think it's here. So it goes on. We read. At the time of such appointment have been ascertained to be less than $1,000 per year. And in all cases, the president shall appoint the person appointed postmaster shall reside within the delivery of the office by of which he shall be appointed. At 12 Stat STAT, again, I'm not sure what that stands for, but 12 Stat STAT 705, Section 23, and be it further enacted that the rate of postage on all letters not transmitted through the mails, the rate of postage on all letters not transmitted through the mails of the United States, but delivered through the post office or its carriers, commonly described as local or drop letters, and not exceeding 1/2 ounce in weight, shall be uniform at 2 cents. And an additional rate for each 1/2 ounce or fraction thereof of additional weight to be in all cases prepaid by postage stamps affixed to the envelope of such letters, but no extra postage or carrier fees shall hereafter be charged or collected upon letters delivered by carriers, nor upon letters collected by them for mailing or for delivery. Okay, so if someone out there wants to get the research on this and find out if you can find 12 Stat 701, Chapter LXXI, which is 50, 60, 71, okay, and also at Stat 705, Section 23. If someone can find those two areas, where we can confirm that this is true, that with 18 U.S. Code subsection 1726, then it would be absolutely true. You can mail money. You can mail letters up to 1 ounce for 4 cents, for a half ounce, 2 cents. But again, generally 4 cents. And I do remember when I was a kid, mail being 2 cents and 4 cents. I remember that very, very clearly. 2 cents and 4 cents. Today, of course, it's something like 49 cents per ounce. So anyway, someone has mailed me two letters. Joshua from up in Maine mailed me two letters using the 2 cent stamp or the four. Yeah, it was a 2 cent stamp, and there was some other information put in here, you know, referring to the law, the statute, and it did go through, and I did get it. And he had mailed it to other people also. I was going to mail to do a testing to a bunch of people, and I didn't do it because I couldn't find the law. I want to make sure I'm up on the law and that it says what it says here. And until I find that, I'm not going to participate. So again, anybody who wants to pick this research up and get back to me on it, I'd really appreciate it. What we're looking for, again, is 12 STAT, S-T-A-T, 701, Chapter 71, which is LXX1. Or LLXI, shall I say. And the other one is at Stat 705, Section 23. Okay? I didn't see a chapter on that. But if they can find those two areas and get that information to me, then we can put something up and post it, and people can start doing this. It'd be really advantageous to us if we can be mailing letters out for 2 cents per half ounce, because we have a lot of letter mailing we're going to have to do in the next couple of months, in the next month or so maybe, and it would be really advantageous to be mailing out at that price. But we do want to get the law, we want to test it out and make sure it works, and then we'll utilize it. Right, with that anyway, if anybody can pick that up, that'd be good. Okay, I guess that's pretty much it. We're going forward without Kentucky and Alaska unless we can find someone that's going to represent Kentucky and Alaska here online tonight. So if not, we will be going forward without them. All right, we're going to open up for questions and comments if anybody has anything. To get into the queue, I believe it's hitting star one. And you'll get into the queue. We'll take it from there. Okay. Let's see. We've got Jason from New Jersey. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dad, John. Jason, New Jersey. Well, I have a question. This good support for you going on with the letter. I can't wait to see your next paper so we can send it out to our uncivil servants and rallying the charge for the media group. Things are coming along quite well. And again, the more seeds we can throw out there on the field, the more we can grow.
And, okay.
And also, I was on the line when Shake and Wake Radio went down. I think I'm creating the havoc to the state because I'm just so evil.
All right. Yep. All right. We appreciate that, Jason. Anything else?
No. This guys, keep up the good work. The victory is around the corner, and when it comes together, we'll be able to fix our country with truth, justice, and fair play for each sovereign of the land. And thank you very much, John, for being the opportunity to be part of your team, and God bless everyone and yourselves, too. Good health.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Let's move on to the next caller, 805-620. Can you please give us your first name and your state, please?
Yeah, I'm Eric, and I'm in the... on land known as the California Republic.
Okay, so you're in California, Eric? Eric,
yeah,
from California.
I'm a friend of California Dave's out here.
Okay, great. How you doing,
and
Eric?
I want to mention something that I think you and your listeners might find very exciting, because it's a method for redress by the people that's protected by the Seventh Amendment, and it corresponds or would work, intended to work, in my opinion, work with the common law grand jury. And so if I could read the Seventh Amendment, it's only one sentence.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, in suits
which
at common law...
This was which amendment?
The Seventh Amendment.
Seventh Amendment, okay.
Yeah, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Now, notice that it didn't say no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined by any other court. It said by any court of the United States. So the trial by jury using common law is outside of the United States. It's outside of the judicial system of the United States. In my opinion, it's the one Supreme Court referred to in Article 3 of the Constitution, the first sentence of the first section of Article 3 of the Constitution. So I'd like to read that sentence too.
Sure.
Okay, it says, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. So what this means is that this is the one Supreme Court. In my opinion, the people's trial by jury is the one Supreme Court, and it's out because it's outside of the courts established by Congress. And the reason for that is because the Constitution was written before the Judiciary Act, and the Constitution, in recognizing the one Supreme Court, acknowledged the power of the people under common law to hold their own trial by jury outside of government and above government. So, in my opinion, that was the intent of the founders, to create a structure of self-government where the people could manage their own affairs outside of any request for benefits or privileges or jurisdiction of government, using the common law and the trial by jury. Now, last week, one of your callers called, you know, was talking about a jury trial and that she wanted a jury trial. And we hear that all the time in the court systems is jury trials. But a jury trial is not a trial by jury. A jury trial is an administrative hearing with 13 citizens or observers there that are going to follow and do what everything that the judge says, and that is not a trial by jury. So,
well, you're absolutely correct. We can't argue with anything you said. We agree with what you're saying, and if you read Lysander Spooner, he makes the very same point very clearly. And we do have a system set up that's a facade. It looks like it's right, but it really isn't when you dig deep, like we've looked into it, and you don't have to dig too deep to see it. These are puppet grand juries. These are puppet trial juries, and they're controlled by the judge, and they're controlled by the prosecutor. And when the government gets to control the prosecution, the jury, and the judge, when they get to control all three, you know the outcome of that is guilty. And after all, the government brought the case up, and they want it to be, they want a conviction, and that's where we're at. So, you're absolutely correct, and we agree with you. I'd like to add one in here, and this is an extremely important one. And anybody going up to any court, you need to pull out the Fifth Amendment and read it to that judge, because it says here, no person shall be held. Let me repeat that. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment by a grand jury. So if you are being held for a crime, anything that's going to give you a potential jail sentence, then you cannot be held to answer to that. You can't be held, and you can't be held to answer until first they do an indictment. But of course, they like to first do, come in and do an arraignment first. The arraignment is supposed to happen after the indictment. That's when you are arraigned. You're brought in before the court to plead, and if it's necessary, they might set a bond for you. In most cases, they should never have to set a bond, but in some cases, I can understand that. But in any event, that's the process. So they've got it backwards, and you need to bring it to the judge's understanding and realization here that no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, period. Nothing else to talk about. And as the Eric said here, the Seventh Amendment, which gives for the ability to, was it the Seventh? Yeah, it was the Seventh. Yes,
yeah.
$20. But it's also written, I believe, in the body of the Constitution, too, that the trial by jury shall never be done away with. But go ahead.
Yeah. So in my opinion, you should be establishing trial by juries also, because
we're establishing all of it. We're establishing not only the grand jury that we get, we also will be administering to the trial jury, and both of these grand jury and trial juries in not only the state but also the federal districts.
Okay,
we can't allow the government to control those.
The grand jury is on a case by case basis, but the trial by jury is the only office in a republic that's always open. In a republic, government offices are even supposed to be temporary or ad hoc. But
well, the grand jury also is supposed to be available at all times. If you catch someone in a murder case, obviously you got to hold the person. You should be able to get a grand jury in 72 hours to come in and take a look and make a decision and
right.
Say, hey, look, we got to hold him. But it's up to the grand jury, really. They got to seek the grand jury. You can't hold someone for 3 weeks waiting for a grand jury. That's not right. That's a wrongdoing in itself. And it's not that hard to find a grand jury in session. And I'll tell you why. Once we get into process, it won't be hard to have a grand jury in session because we will be bringing grand juries into session in and out constantly. And if we are in the middle of bringing a new grand jury in and someone in the county is arrested for murder, all we got to do is put out the word to our sister counties, hey, anybody got a grand jury active at the moment? Yeah, hey, we got a grand jury sitting right now. We have an emergency case. We need to be heard first thing in the morning, unless you can hear it before the end of the day. Can you get it to them? Sure, we can get it to them. You transfer all the information. You get the prosecutor to get everything down there. They bring it up. They put it before the grand jury. They make a decision, and you get an indictment, or you get the person released. They may change. They say, hey, look, you ain't got enough. Forget about it. Get out of here. See, this way you're not holding anyone for any period of time longer than what's necessary. So grand juries should be accessible at all times. And remember this, grand jury is the really it's an extension of the trial jury. It's the people ruling ultimately a case. The moment that the grand jury sits to hear, court is in session. Court is in session as soon as they sit to hear a case. And their decision is to go forward or not. That's all that decision is. And then they pass it on to the petty jury, which is the trial jury, and they're the ones that have to hear the whole case in detail and make a decision-making on, guilt or innocent. And they also have to decide on how they're going to, repair the injured party. There's got to be restitution. And they're also going to be the ones to decide on whether the person needs to go to jail or not. In most cases, they don't need to go to jail. Most cases, if they need to be confined in some way, a lot of cases, you can put a ring on them so on.
Well,
okay.
One thing I wanted to do here was see if I could arrange a private call between you and Pastor Raymond of the Texian Jural Society, who's an expert on the trial by jury. He's been working with them running it for a number of years and has some successes,
mm-hmm.
and see how they and their membership can work with you and your membership so that we can operate common law grand juries and trial by juries.
Well, if you want, you
outside
could try
of
to
the government and not be addressing any thing to the government except inviting them to a trial coming up.
You can call me tomorrow at 9 p.m. if you want. That's probably a good time.
Okay.
I'll give you a phone number is 845.
Okay.
223.
Okay.
6560. I'll be at a meeting in front of my computer from 8:30. Probably I'm going to be in on the other media meeting only for a half hour, and then I'll be available at 9 o'clock.
Okay, that's 9 p.m. East Coast?
9 p.m. Eastern time, right? So if you're in the West, yeah, it's 6 o'clock your time.
Okay,
and if for some reason you can't make that, try me another evening at about 8 or 9, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay? Anything else?
Thank
you.
No, that's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right. Have a good day. We'll talk to you again. Okay, let's see. Next caller will be Max from Colorado. Go right ahead.
This is Colorado Max.
How you doing?
Hi, John. Doing good. Couple of questions. I'm still, and you don't have to tell me what the plan is, but have you got plans if they keep ignoring us in the courts? Because when I'm getting ready to go talk to these liberty groups, like I said, probably in about a week and a half, I'll be going to these meetings and promoting our group. They're gonna want to know what to do, and they're gonna want to know, because they're action people, but they just need to know exactly what to do. And telling them just to go on the website, learn about common law, I'm gonna cut it. I'm gonna have to have a little more.
Well, look, it. All they have to do is come onto the website or right on the front page, read our front page, watch the video. By the end of
right.
the week, there'll be two videos there. They watch those two videos. They read that front page. They'll know what we're doing and that we're people of action and that things are moving along. Look at the new video. We redid the video on the front page for those who haven't seen it yet. They should go review it. The first part of it may be pretty much identical to what it was. We made a few little changes here or there, but not too much. The second half of the video is pretty new because we're now talking from the perspective of not going out building, building up the each state and constituting the grand juries in each county. But we've completed that work. That work is done, and we are now at the point where we're filing papers. And we're not filing papers in a court to ask the court to decide anything. We're filing papers as the king of the court coming in with commandments, telling them what they need to do. And it's really pretty simple. Obey the law. Obey the Constitution. And we're going to hold their feet to the fire. We're going to reveal their sins on paper in every federal court across the nation. And they can't take that. That's a huge pressure. So people ask all the time, well, how do you get any kind of enforcement? Well, how do they get enforcement? They can't. You can't get the sheriff to enforce this because he's too ignorant, and he's as ignorant as we were, and now we have to educate him. And even if he becomes educated, he's all by himself. Whoever he arrests, if he goes and arrests the judge, the prosecutor is going to get him out before, within an hour after he's arrested. And they're going to come out after that sheriff. Okay, they're going to be an enemy because it's all political. There's a lot of politics going on here, too. We got to separate all that crap. But the bottom line is that the sheriffs can't do what has to be done. The marshals can't do what has to be done. You can't get the provost marshals. The provost marshals, they don't have any constitutional, findings. They were not founded in the Constitution. I did do some research, and they came from a place, really, that I didn't see any authority from. But nevertheless, they're there. But they're unable to do anything. You can't go and get the militia. That would be seen as insurrection. You can't, the government, the military itself, we can't get them to do anything. But they could act on their own, but I think that would be really dangerous. I think it's a dangerous thing if the military tried to do a takeover. Because I tell you what, you got to be sitting at home asking yourself, is that not part of the plan? Could that be the part of the plan? You know, are we going to go along with this? I don't know. No, I say the military needs to stay out of this. And so what's left? Well, it's the grand jury. And people have tried the grand jury. They've tried it out in California. They've tried it down in Florida. They've tried it in Missouri. They've tried it in numerous places. And it never worked. And I spoke to a lot of these people that have tried these things, and I know exactly why it didn't work. First of all, they didn't have all the prerequisitional knowledges. none of them had, a lot of them had like the stuff, the poison they learn on the websites, you know. You go in and you talk about being a sovereign, you talk about being a free man, and you're of the soil, and your last name is a family name, and it's not in caps, and you make a big thing and not go through the gate, and all that's poison. It has nothing to do with what we're doing. It's not going to get you anything. That argument is going to get you laughed at. That argument is gets them to say, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, so we'll put the clamps on him. And you always go to jail. They always put these people in jail. Very rarely do they get away with it. Only if someone who does that has some knowledge of other things and they apply the other stuff and they're able to get away with it. But that's rare, very rare. And so they're teaching you things that's really only going to get you put in jail, and it doesn't work. And why go in and argue in a court where you have no standing? Some people say first order of business, go in and argue standing. Well, you get in there and you argue standing, well then, if you're arguing standing, don't you think you're in the wrong court? What are you doing arguing in any court that you don't have standing in? You're never going to have standing. You think there's some magic words that you'll be able to wave your wand and all of a sudden these people are going to listen to you and say, oh, you know what? He's right. We gave them this ammunition. We got to spread the water, let this guy go by, you know? No, that's not going to happen. It may have happened 20, 30 years ago when they didn't really understand or know how to deal with it, and the people were starting to try to figure ways to get around this stuff. Maybe it happened back then. They were able to do certain things, but you can't do it today. You know, even, what's his name, which we use, Carl Miller, okay, his stuff. The stuff he uses is 25 years old. It may have worked back in his day, but even he went to jail. Okay, and sometimes this stuff may have worked in a court of law 20, 30 years ago, but it ain't working today because these people don't care. These people are hardened criminals. They don't care. They're going to put everyone in jail. The fix is in. They're made men. You ain't getting to them. So how do you get to this? How do you get there? It starts to look hopeless, but then there is one way. And one thing we've learned, and just look at what our founding fathers did. Look at history. Look at Gandhi. Look at what really worked. The truth always works. If you can expose the truth and just let that light shine in and keep putting the pressure of the truth and showing the fraud and showing the lie, they can only stand up so long. Their own conscience will get to them. God will work on them. Believe me, they'll fear when there's no need to fear. Okay? Once they get the fear into them, the problem is getting the fear into them. And I think we're going to begin to get the fear into. We already got the fear into some of them. This next one, I think, is going to put the fear in all of them. And it's even going to, you know, trickle down into the states. So what are we going to do? How do you get? Well, look at right on the front page is the answer. Only the people can save America. That's it. If the people aren't going to step up and do it, if the people aren't going to get out there and get involved with this media campaign, if the people aren't going to spend 10 minutes a day on some tweets, if their tweeters tweet 10 minutes of our stuff, okay? If people aren't going to send some emails out, you know, people get emails all the time and say, oh, that's interesting. Oh, let me share that with my friend. Well, share this one with your friend. Get this out. Get it viral. If people aren't going to take a copy of the Quo Vadis and send it to their local newspaper and say, hey, what's up with this? Okay? If people aren't going to do the same thing with their network news, okay, if people aren't going to send the letters out going out to the sheriffs that we got going, if people aren't going to do any of those things, you're right. We're not going to have any power. We're not going to have any authority. We're going to lose, and that'll be that. So only the people can save America. Now, if the people do these things, and we make a lot of, and we got to move the liberty groups, then we have name recognition. So we're already halfway there. Anybody you ask, I've been finding out, everybody's heard of NLA. A lot of people don't really know what we're doing. A lot of people think, it's too much to think about, you know, get involved in that, all that legal stuff. They don't really understand. Get them to that front page. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. But just lead them to the front page. Maybe they'll be thirsty and they'll drink it. Let's get them to the front page. And all you got to do is get one person in one liberty group that really gets it, and they're going to expound that to the rest of the people in their liberty group. And then you get them involved, and then they're moving it on. See, by getting the pressure on the people. Now, if there's anything we learned when we started doing this, is they love to expunge papers. They've done this from the very first court case that we got involved with. We sent them right back, okay? And they really get upset by this. They don't want this paper in there. Why don't they want this paper in there? anything that gets them to anything that gets onto the record that reveals their crime, they want out of there. They'll erase parts of the tape. They'll fix the stenographer's typing and stuff. They'll take this out, take that out, and that's all fixed. They'll remove papers from the file. Okay, all of that will be cleansed, and they may not even do it sometimes till 6 months later. They may wait a while, but it's on mark for the cleaner. The cleaning guy will go down there, and it'll get cleaned. But a lot of these things are done right in front of us, and they do it right in the middle of the case. You got to ask yourself the question, why? And when you press on them and make it go, and then you fill up the courtroom, and all of a sudden the judge is doing the right thing, and you're saying, this guy's an evil guy. Why is he doing the right thing? Because you got too many witnesses. Too many witnesses. You see, that's what we realized if we realized anything. Why do you think they're so quiet and silent? They send the FBI out after us. They did different things in the beginning, and then they just went dead silent. They've been silent now for over a year. Moved into the federal courts, they remain silent. Why are they silent? Every federal court has received our first paper. We did an information, and they remained silent. A couple of them filed them, but they didn't act on them. Most of them, they didn't do anything. They're sitting there. They didn't send them back. They didn't reject them. They don't know what to do. They're wondering what the next move is. And you see, the next move is coming from every state of the union. That should rock their boat. And we keep offering them the olive branch, you know. But on top of this, we have Anton Scalia, which he now is getting a paper. We're commanding. We're not asking. We're commanding Anton Scalia, and we're commanding Roberts, and we're commanding all the rest of them up there, Thomas. We're saying to them, sign the mandamus. This is not a big thing. Read through it. It's very clear. We're just asking them to obey the law. And we quote the law. And we quote United States versus Williams. We quote their words. Tell these people to obey the law because they refuse to obey the law. What are they going to do? This is the first time in history, at least in our time, in 100 years, probably in history, that anybody's done what we've done, sending papers like this to the United States Supreme Court, commanding and demanding, and it's our lawful right to do this. So these federal courts, not only are going to see it themselves, they're going to see that their names are on it too, the United States Supreme Court, and they're going to get a copy of this. And each United States Supreme Court justice is going to get 51 copies, minus two, because we don't have Kentucky and we don't have Alaska. Anybody from Kentucky or Alaska here, pipe up. But so 51 minus two, they're going to get each one of these justices and also the filing in the federal court. They can't expunge that. They can't expunge hundreds of federal district courts. They can't expunge the United States Supreme Court. They can't expunge the papers went to the United States Supreme Court justices. They can't expunge the thousands of papers that went out to each and every elected judge across the nation. They can't expunge that. And we can't let up. The people, we need to keep building the momentum. We need to file more papers. And there's lots of papers we're going to file. So that's how we're going to get, get to be able to get the necessary, enforcement. Because you see, once they sign the papers and we do get into the courts, that's a recognition. And a recognition means law and order. Write a paper. It's a procedure. Paper must go through. Sheriff must be notified. Arrest must be made. There's nothing to talk about. That's the way it works. Now, they've cut that off from us. They only use the puppet juries. They've cut it off from us. But once we break that away, move that obstacle out of our way, get into the courts, now we have enforcement. We have authority. The people have control. We got the control of the sticks. And we're going to do the right thing. Let's bring justice back into the courts and therefore justice back into America across the board. We'll be back. We'll reset the entire system back to 1789.
Well, yeah, I understand all that, John. It's just when we had our first Tea Party meeting 5 years ago, we had 8,000 people show up.
Right.
And they didn't care how many people showed up, you know. And they were right in front of the Capitol, and we were roaring so loud that they couldn't hear themselves. They had to recess the session they were having in the legislature, but it didn't matter. And so I understand what you're saying, and this it might go the way you're saying it's going to go. I'm just saying if there's got to be contingency if we continue to be ignored, you know, and I'm not trying to cause trouble. I'm just, you know, I've been involved in this stuff for 5 years now, trying to get them to listen from the other side. And so I'm just saying, I'm just trying to get it out there. So we're thinking about these things. We're thinking about our next move. And so I'm not trying to cause trouble. I'm just raising questions that I think we need to be thinking about.
I agree, and we like these questions because this explains to the people. And look, if you were stripped naked and thrown out into the street, the first thing you're going to do is try to cover yourself up. That's the nature of things. Think of it that way. We're stripping them naked, and we're putting them in the streets, and they're too busy covering themselves up. They can't respond. Okay, they don't know what to do. And, you know, God speaks of things in the end times where, you know, the enemy of justice, ultimately, will be running and hiding when no one pursues them. No one's pursuing these people, but they don't know that. They know the exposure. They know the exposure is going to bring pursuit eventually. So they either got to do one of two things. Either they got to fold up their deck and say, okay, fine, I'm going to play ball with you guys. You guys are offering me that you're not on a witch hunt. You're not going to chase me for my past sins, and you just want me to work with you and stick with the law. I'm in for that. I'll sign the paper. Let's go do it. And that's fine. And we're not going to chase them. There is no witch hunt. We're not on to that. We're too busy to save the nation. Now, of course, later on, once we save the nation, we start to hear cases, and people might bring up Judge Joe and Judge Mary and so on and so forth and say, hey, look, let me tell you all the evil they did to me. Well, now we got a wrongdoing. We have to deal with it. But we're not going out on a witch hunt. If we go out on a witch hunt, we lose. We have to stay focused on the prize. The prize is to save the republic for ourselves and our posterity. That's the prize. And anybody that takes their eye off that prize and starts to look at revenge and anger, then we lose, they win, game over.
And one more quick thing, John. Are you still behind on your meetup membership approvals?
No, we'll be talking about that at the next meeting, though.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing myself as a member yet, and
okay.
I've resubmitted again. So
yeah, we'll
you know.
No, we'll talk more about that on the next meeting. Okay.
Okay. All right. I guess that's all I've got for now.
Okay, thanks, Max. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Look, I want to say something just to add addendum to that. The difference of what we're doing and what other people have done is we're using the process and everything's getting put on record. This thing that we're doing draws the line in the sand. Either the courts are constitutional or they're not. Either they're under the Constitution or they're not. Either we have a Fifth Amendment right to a grand jury or we don't. You see, they don't want us to have a grand jury or any kind of. They want puppet juries, and you're lucky you even get that because some of the states are abolishing grand juries at all. So this does a couple of different things. Number one, it puts their crimes on record. Any time they do something, there's a trail now. You know, if we ever straighten this country out, that's why these judges are going to be running, because when we sign stuff and we put stuff on the record and they can't purge it because it's coming from every state, you know, locally they feel very comfortable throwing records away and all that. This is different. They're not going to be able to do that. And at some point they're going to realize that. So nobody's ever taken this process the way that John has figured out how to go first, second step. We don't always talk about our next step. Because the reason we don't talk about our next step is, you know what? They don't even know the process as well as we do. They haven't studied history and they haven't studied common law. But believe me, there's a step all the way through. And our forefathers provided for even the militia, even the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We are the government. We're the people. When we get together in the proper way and we fill out the proper paperwork, they're done. They're done. And you don't need a majority of the nation to do this. You just need a tireless minority that keeps putting the truth out there. And that's the difference. This is different than anything anybody else has ever done, because we're forcing them to put these papers in the record. We're pulling them out in public, and we're saying, hey, we're the people. We're supposed to be the government. I don't know what kind of corporation you think you got over there, but guess what? We run this country. and mommy and daddy are home. And basically we're doing that in paperwork. You see, they want to call us terrorists because they would love to shoot bullets back at us because they know what to do with that. But with this paperwork, this is worse than nuclear bombs on their head. And that's what's going on. They don't want people to get a hold of the words that were sticking across their desk. How can you put these words across the desk of these justices and have people know and have them ignore it or worse yet, violate it? So this really does draw the line in the sand. And you know what? Guess what? It's time. And so that's why they don't know what to do, because they can't, they're not used to operating on a national scale. We've got them because they're so compartmentalized. They might be able to take over a county, and the counties might have something going with the state. But when you bring all the states together and all the counties together, they're not going to hold up to it. They're just not. You can't. You see, conspiracies don't work well when you have too many people, because there's no honor among thieves. And believe me, there is no honor among thieves. So,
and Gerard.
And I
understand that. That's why I switched my focus in my Liberty group to this, because I know this is really the way to go. It's just, you know, I just bring things up, and I understand what we're doing. It's just, I know the questions are going to be asked, and I know the ignorance is still out there, even though there's just a lot of education to be done. There's a lot of things to be done, and people are going to want to know what to do. And like we keep saying, when they find out, the more I study this and the more I get into this, the madder I get at first, and then I try to change my anger into assertiveness and into action. But I mean, the more I hear about all what they've done to us and how they have deceived us, it just boggles my mind. And I've got that's going to happen as we get these Liberty groups involved, and as we get some of these media people who are friendly to us, especially a lot of the local radio stations that are popular, especially in my area. They're going to it's going to create some fire. So I'm just, you know, wanting to really have an answer for them, you know?
Right.
Well, let me tell you. Go ahead.
Other things are going to come out of this. I mean, we don't talk about the end result because it can end anywhere in the process. We're doing a process. I was just reading this Operation American Freedom, which sprung out of Operation American Spring. And they said to him, they said, well, what are you doing different than these people did? He said, well, they all went up there, and there was a lot of them, and they stood on the White House lawn and yelled, but they had no idea what they were doing. He said, well, what are you doing that's different? Well, we're bringing up arrest warrants, and we're bringing up these sheriffs from the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. That's what we're doing. We're gonna force them. And he didn't really have a good answer, because what we found out is, listen, you can't expect the sheriff to fix this problem. It ain't going to happen. And the reason it isn't going to happen is because he'd be nuts to stick his neck out. When we went to get a public official arrested, they said, listen, he said, I could go arrest this person. He said, but I really can't, because I have to send it to the prosecutor, because the prosecutor has to prosecute it. So before I would ever go arrest, I have to do an investigation, and I don't have the subpoena powers that the prosecutor does. So you need to go up and see him. So then the light bulb went off in our head, and we said, look, we can't expect these sheriffs to go out and arrest public officials, because he's done. Look, if they're going to get together with him, it's a political system. He'll never get reelected. You know, they may impeach him. I mean, over here in New York, they're telling these sheriffs that if you don't do our gun law, the governor's going to pull you out of office. Of course, he doesn't want to do that because he knows that there's due process. See, that's what we're doing, the process. So, you know, these sheriffs are not going to have the gumption to arrest anybody until they see the people behind him. Now, who's the best people to have behind the sheriff? Well, what's the governor going to do when he pulls the sheriff out of office? He has to give it to the grand jury. And the grand jury can sit there and go, not guilty. So you see how they work hand in hand? You can't send that sheriff up that hill with his sword out. When he turns around, there's nobody behind him, or there's nobody or you all got rubber swords, if you know what I mean. So it's the power of the people. And this system that our forefathers gave us is already here. We're not inventing anything new. We're just resurrecting what they've succeeded in putting to sleep. They don't want you to even know it exists. But believe me, there's things we haven't even touched on that exist because our forefathers were that far ahead of us. They gave us, you know, there's an old saying, there's three boxes in this country. The voting box, the jury box is where we are, and the cartridge box. Look, at the Second Amendment is only here as a last resort. And, I mean, they know it, and we know it. We don't need to talk about it. Right now we're in the jury box, and that's where we're moving forward. All right, I'll rest.
All right. Also, if you take notice, our papers start off, especially now on the federal level, that silence when one has a duty to speak is fraud, okay? It's guilt. And so we make that point in the beginning of the paper, and you'll notice as time goes on, the font on that statement's going to start getting bigger and bigger because we have to put the pressure on more and more. One other thing we're doing that no one has done, no one has organized the entire nation like we have. We've organized the entire nation. We have constituted every county across America, 3,134 counties or 33 counties. We've constituted every one of them, which means we took an ad out in each one of those counties. Not an ad, we released a press release in each one of those counties inviting people to come in to reinstate the common law grand jury. And it only takes one person to come up and say, yay, let's do it. Even if 100 people came, which... And one person wanted and the 99 didn't, it still gets to go because this is a republic. They have unalienable rights. It goes forward anyway. But quite the opposite happened. Whatever collective we had, whether it was a small collection or a large collection, it was pretty much almost always unanimous. Okay, so people, when they saw, they realized they wanted it. They know this is it. So we did that. And then by constituting in every county, we constituted the entire state, and we then therefore became a unified state. And we put together the unified common law grand jury of whatever state they're in. So it's the unified New York or the unified New Jersey or the unified California or Texas or Missouri or whatever state you want to put in there. We've unified them all. Every state is a unified state common law grand jury. Okay, with a seal, okay, which shows authority, all 50 states, with the exception of two, but we'll get them back on board soon. And we've got people in those states. We just don't have anyone willing to step up to take the authority and the power. We just don't have anyone there. But we do have people in those states. But anyway, we have that. And then we also have, put together the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And so we've unified all the states, and they're going to get papers from all the states. They're going to see it's coming from many geographical locations. I mean, they look on the postal markings, and they'll see, hey, it's coming from this each one of those states. That shows unity. It shows organization, okay? And that should put fear again. This is building up more and more. Every time we go back to them, they're going to see more about us, and they're going to worry more and more. They don't want this on the record. And the big thing right now is and this is going to be, you know, really the big test on the United States Supreme Court on what they're going to do. Because are they with us or are they against us? We're going to find out in the next couple of weeks, I think. And that's okay. If they're against us, we're going to keep putting up the pressure. That facade can only hold on so much before the people burst through, and believe me, they're just going to give in because they have no other choice. Okay? There is no other choice. We just have to beat out the pulling of the plug. And so that's all we have to do. So we have to get moving and do our job and do what has to be done. But anybody who really wants to understand how they got this country the way they did and how they locked us down, if you go out to our media, Highlight Media on National Liberty Alliance, Highlight Media, Highlight, then come down to Highlight Today's Issues, and then click on E. Edward Griffin, and G. Edward Griffin, I mean. And he's got documentaries. We got pretty much all of them up there that lead you right through exactly how they did it. Probably one of the most telling one that really gave the foundation of how they did it was an interview with a guy named Norman Dodd. Back in, goodness, 82, 84 or something. I don't remember exactly what year. But he interviewed that guy, and it was a one-hour interview, and wow, does he reveal exactly what took place and exactly how they did it. But the details of that Griffin gives in his documentaries that he's been working on for since, I think, 1959. He's been doing these documentaries. So, all right, let's move on to the next caller. Thanks, Max. That was a good conversation there. Let's go to Donna from California. California, Donna.
Hey, how are you doing, Mr. John?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I have a question. I heard you earlier talking about we the people don't have to answer to anybody but the grand jury.
Right. When it comes to if they are saying to you that you committed a crime and we want you to come in and they want to arraign you, I would read to them the Fifth Amendment. I would say, and I, you know, look, and I'll tell you what, this may be sufficient enough to really scratch their eyeballs in the court. Say, excuse me, judge, and open up your little, common law, your little grand jurist book, because we have it in there, or you can open up your Constitution handbook, and you read that and say, look, I'm kind of confused, judge. I was reading my Constitution here, and it says here in the Fifth Amendment that no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime. I would
unless
use just the word. I would tell you what, because of their
grand jury.
Right. I would, because of their ignorance, I would go right to no person shall be held to answer for a crime, because any crime that they're going in is looking for jail time anyway. So anytime,
The question I have is I've been studying on this here, and I want to ask you. I have a police department, a sheriff's department, and a CHP department here, and I'm asking you, do they belong to any of the three forms of government, the
What's
branches
the CHP?
Of government? The CHP belongs to the what?
What is the CHP?
California Highway Patrol.
Okay. There's only one legal cop in America. And their law enforcement. Let me think about this. Actually, they're peace officers. I think you would call them. That is the sheriff. All the other police forces are corporate polices. And
okay, but
they should be under. Hold on. They should be under the authority of an elected law enforcement individual, such as the sheriff. If they're not, they're then answering to a political power such as a governor or someone like that, or a mayor. If they're answering to a political power and they're controlled by a political power, then there's a problem. That's not legal. Look at the arrests that they perform are just at best citizens' arrests. They're not police officers. They're not even. They can't sign the papers as if there was somebody, as if the crime was committed and that they were the witness in the sense of a traffic infraction or something like that. It's insane. But go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is they're considered a corporate ficta employee, right?
A corporate what?
A corporate ficta employee.
I've never heard the statement before, but what's Victor? Corporate Victor.
That means that they're operating under foreign law, which is Uniform Commercial Code, Civil Law, Color of Law.
Are you saying corporate dicta or corporate Victor?
Victa. F-I-C-T-A.
Oh, thick F. It's a totally different word than I even thought. Okay. I've never heard of that, but go ahead. Tell us.
Okay, the studying I've been doing says here, they're considered to be, if they're not in any of the three branches of government, then he is a corpora ficta employee committing embezzlement of funds for his employment and high crimes under pretended authority of government.
I know how to spell corporate, C-O-R-P-R-A-T-E, corporate, spell FICTA, F, you say?
Well, the corpora that I'm talking about is spelled C-O-R-P-O-R-A.
Right.
And then last is F-I-C-T-A.
And that's all one word?
No, two words.
It's two words, okay.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is he's pretending authority of government. The cop has no power of government and uses gang-like tactics for forced compliance with his will alone. Any other law besides constitutional law is foreign law, such as NAPO. I've never heard of this. Napoleonic law, uniform commercial code, civil law, color of law, state law, any state statute, any state ordinance, any state regulation, or any state custom or any state usage. The officer is striking against the constitutional form of government by using foreign law. Under the 11th Amendment, other states cannot participate in out-of-state violations of the law, driver's license searches without a warrant, or even credit checks without a grand jury warrant. The thing that I was wondering is the only one in my county that have government authority is the sheriff and no one else. That's correct, right?
Yeah, only the sheriff. Although until we get common law back into place, we have to live with what we have and do the best we can. And we make our arguments in the courts and not in the streets, because if you're going to argue with a cop, there's a good chance these days you're going to get beat up. There's just no sense to argue with a cop in the streets. Whatever they want,
no,
look
at.
Yeah.
I don't even give them a problem, but right here it states, when a cop serves the summons and impersonation of a sheriff is taking place, the sheriff is a member of the executive branch of government. The day-to-day enforcement and administration of federal laws is permitted, not state codes, regulations, or statutes. Therefore, the cop is only enforcing statutes in violation
right,
of the
right, laws. Right, right. I call these police officers, what you people might call police officers, I call them code enforcement agents. That's what they are.
Yeah.
They're code enforcement officers, and they're not police. They're not the sheriff. But look.
And you know what
else I found? People believe that they are, and the fiction is in power. And until people wake up and see the reality of things and bring things back into order, it's going to remain this way, and we just have to fight it the best way we can. But once we get to the other side of things, well, it's going to have to be up to the sheriff, to figure out a lot of these problems. But ultimately, a lot of these police forces are just going to be shut down. They'll be shut down on their own, believe me, because the courts won't be able to make their money. They won't be able to afford the court system. They won't be able to afford to pay the police system, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that the sheriff eventually will take over whatever's left. They'll have to work under their wing, because they cannot continue to work under the wing of a political power. Because
they have
to work directly for the people. It's the only way.
Well, I also found here where it says when a cop forces you to sign the ticket, he's impersonating a bailiff, because the bailiff is a member of the judicial branch of the government.
Right. I've never signed a ticket, you know. I've never been asked to sign one either. They give you a ticket, and they say, oh, thank you very much. Have a nice day. And that's it. I don't get into any arguments on the streets. It doesn't matter of fact, I'd say 50% of the time that I am stopped, the cop usually lets me go. Because he got me as far as what he thinks is a code violation. But, you know, I'm just very polite and kind to the person. The other 50% that I get ticketed for, I argued in court. I usually beat half of them at least with just sending papers in and never hearing from them again. The other 50%, I got to waste my time, go down and pay the fine because they're going to go. And it says I don't have the time to fight the battle, so I put that in a special cabinet box, and someday
yeah.
I'll go back to all the courts at the same time and cash in.
That's why I'm being on my P's and Q's and not giving them any trouble and treating them nice, you know, smile at them and say hello and go about my business and not give them a reason to bother me anymore.
Exactly. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to make an argument with them. Of course, they shouldn't be doing it. It annoys the hell out of me. I do get pissed off when they stop me. I really do, but I hide it very well. So, but anyway, anything else?
Oh, no, I've just been doing a lot of studying about a lot of different things, and I just wanted to make sure that a cop from, say, a city and the sheriff deputies are not in any of the branches of government.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted you to make that clear.
Right. Well, they're not legal, so, yeah, they're not part of it. But remember, you know, the corporate fiction is also the government. Hidden underneath the corporate fiction is the government. You know, we still have that trust there. It's just that it's been hijacked and it's controlled. The plane is under the control of the hijackers for right now. Soon we'll get rid of those hijackers and get the plane back in control by the people, Lord willing. And that's where we're at, too. So.
I just wanted to share some information, but I had to make sure what I've been studying is right on the money because I don't want to give false information. And,
right.
And I know CHP is not in any of the three branches of government either.
Right. The only one that's legal is the sheriff. That's the only legal police force. Now, a private community can hire security guards, and those security guards could be armed, and they could do certain things. But in a sense, they make the arrest. It's really a citizen's arrest, and they have to turn the people over to the authorities. I mean, you could make an arrest. Anyone can make an arrest. You know, so, but anyway, we will, by the way, have our course, now that we're talking about that, we're going to have our course up. It should have been up last week. They did run into some snafus, so they got some problems they're trying to figure out, and they had some other problems, but they should be back to this, and hopefully we'll get it up this week. I mean, we're really pushing on it, but hopefully it'll be up this week, and that also will open up I think a lot of new membership, because I know I've heard a lot of people that are not members say they wanted to take it, but they know that they're going to have to become a member. They have to sign in and sign up to get onto this free course.
So, are you still having Thursday meeting?
No.
Now it's off again?
Well, we don't have Thursday meetings no more. We've done away with them a while ago. So, and that was when we were discussing the law and stuff. For two reasons. Number one, you know, I got too many things going on. It was just too much, another 3 hours a night to be prepared for and get involved with that. But also, I think I was putting myself at risk because they'll find another way to try to come after me maybe. So, you know.
So the emails that I got for last week, 29th, 30th.
That's a different meeting. Those are for private. If you've been invited to a private meeting, that's a different meeting. So, if there's another one of those meetings coming up, you'll get an email.
All right.
And whatever was discussed at that last meeting, so, will be held.
They should not put 100 percenters meeting on the email because we're thinking it's Thursday with the old
right.
phone number and the
we
old
we can talk
code.
About that. We can talk about that at the next meeting, okay?
All right.
Thank you. Okay, next
Thank
caller.
You.
Thank you. Next caller, Johnny, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yeah, I'm here, John.
How you doing?
I mean, pretty good. Pretty good. I'm good tonight. I still haven't received any word on the mailings.
Yeah, they're pretty much done to the point where they're going to be going out shortly. You know, as far as it's going into process of printing now. Okay. Are you talking about the Quanto?
Yeah. I thought we was going to get a notice of fees.
Right. He didn't give me a price yet. He's not too interested in having to worry about a price at the moment. He'll get that out soon, and we'll get the monies to him when it's necessary. But it's not going to stop him from going forward. He's already purchased the paper for this. We've gone through, I think the labels are already done. We've got the front page is done for each state. That's all been, we went through the approval process to make sure it was done right. And now it's just going to print, and he'll be printing throughout the week to get this job done.
Cool, cool.
And at some point he'll give me a number, and maybe tomorrow I'll be talking with him. I'll ask him if he's got a number yet. If he does, I'll get that out to everybody. And each state is going to have to come up with the 30, 40, 50, or 60, or whatever bucks it is to pay the share.
All right. Sounds good, man. That's
okay.
All I got, John.
All right. Thanks, John. Okay, our next caller, 732-6...
Okay, John, this is Charles from New Jersey calling.
Who is it?
Charles from New Jersey.
How you doing, Charles?
All right. I have an arraignment coming up next week because I smoked in the park deliberately waiting for to get a summons. But when I go into court, I'm sure I'm going to use the Fifth Amendment, and I'm going to state when they say people are taking the Fifth Amendment, they usually assume they don't want to speak to incriminate themselves. But that's only part of it. The rest of the Fifth Amendment is no man shall be held to answer for a crime or otherwise capital offense unless under indictment by a grand jury.
Right. And that's
no
the bottom line.
And I see no indictment. I see no case. And I just bet everybody else in here is going to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to use
if
this
he tries,
opportunity.
If he tries to say to you, well, we're not charging you with a crime, well, then you could say to him, well, then does that mean if I didn't come in, you wouldn't have put a warrant out for my arrest? You see? And the bottom line, you know, they're going to give you a hassle one way or the other. But go ahead. But that's amazing.
Okay.
And you were
no,
in a bar. You were in a bar and you were smoking a cigarette and they gave you a fine?
Yeah.
Did someone in a bar call a cop or something? I mean.
Yeah, the owner called the cop.
Are you serious? We are that
No.
Mad?
No,
yeah, I don't drink anymore. Many, many years ago, I did drink, and you know, I was very young then, and I did smoke. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't even fathom going into a bar that I couldn't smoke in to have a drink back in those days. I just couldn't even fathom. I wouldn't even go near that bar. But I guess they have made it. Look, there's got to be some renegade bars out there to tell them to go to Hades.
There are no renegade bars.
Really? Oh, my
I'm
goodness.
I'm actually in the state of Missouri around the end of July, and I'm sitting in the bar talking to a Missourian. We're both drinking the smoking and hanging out. I told them I'm from New Jersey, and I said, by the way, the last time I lit up a cigar in a bar, they gave me a ticket. He goes, really? What the hell kind of country are you from? I said, it's not as bad as communist China, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you, I had no defense for this state.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my question to you is, I'm going to ask the judge to dismiss it on the Fifth Amendment, but what I want to do is use that as an opportunity to notify the judge this is a moment of history being made right now. Right now, there is a writ of mandamus on every federal court judge's desk right now. I mean, not writ of mandamus. What is it, quaranto?
Quaranto, writ of quaranto.
Yeah. There's a writ of quaranto on every federal judge's desk in every state in this country right now. And the right of the people to control the government is now returned to the people. And I guess I could just leave it at that point and let the judge stew over that.
Mm-hmm.
Either
well,
that
you could
or
try. I mean, the worst case scenario is you're going to end up with a fine, and that'll be that. You'll have to pay it probably. Otherwise, I don't know what they'll try to do to you for that.
A fine for what? For having my rights violated?
I know, but that's where it's going to end up. Then you're going to have to make the decision whether you want to take it into a federal court for violating your unalienable rights, because that's where you take these cases. All these cases, you go in, you give them one shot, and you make a federal case out of it after that. Okay, it's very easy to make a federal case. You were brought into a wrong court that has no authority over you. It's a nisi prius court. They don't have the power to fine, nor do they have the power to incarcerate, and especially without your permission, and you didn't give them permission, and they fined me and threatened me with jail, and I had to pay the money to the guy, and that was that, you know.
You mean even though there is no presentment by a grand jury, they're still not going to find me?
Oh, they're going to. Well, you might get a judge who might bend, but generally speaking, you usually don't. They really dig their feet into the sand, but again, you make a federal case out of it. Then, if you want to go that far. I mean, again, you know, it takes time to go through that process. You have to get involved. It is a good education, though, but you have to have something to start off on. You have to be able to write the papers correctly to be able to move it into a federal court. Remember, they're going to give you, look at it, unless he bends and says, well, okay, you got a point, get out of here, next case. You might get a judge like that. That's rare, but you could get one. But if you don't, he's going to press the issue. He's going to say, okay, just go pay the $150 over there and just tell him how long it's going to take you to pay it. And look, if you don't pay it, I don't know what the threat would be, but I'm sure they'll threaten you with something.
You mean even though they want to violate my rights, I give them no consent, they still have the right to take my money?
No, they don't have the right, but they're criminals. They're going to rob you. They're going to mug you while you're in the room. They got the guns. What are you going to do? You're going to give up the money,
right?
Yeah, that's right. So then if you want to make a federal case out of it, fine.
Or,
you know, again, all those little cases, if you paid the fine, stick it into a filing cabinet, let them mount up. You continue to learn how to do things, and at some point in time, especially when we turn common law, you go back and you sue them all.
Oh, yeah, I could do that, couldn't I?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I could either do that or tell the judge this is his moment to stand as the mighty protector of my rights, my liberty.
You can try it.
You are indeed an honor. I call you your honor because you pledged on the Bible in front of witnesses to protect my rights. You swore you would, and you would never go back on your word. Right now, you're standing in a shaft of light coming down on you. That is the highest honor a man can take other than going to battle to protect my rights.
Well, Charles, you could try that, and it's not going to kill you to try it. I mean, the worst case, like I said, they can end up fining you, but definitely come back and tell us how it goes.
Oh, yeah, all right. My hearing is going to be the 13th of November.
All right, well, we'll be looking for you on the next Monday meeting. Give us a yell and tell us what he said. I'm interested to hear. It sounds
all right,
good.
That's cool.
Keep up the good
fight. Yeah, I think this is going to be fun. I'm having a good
that's
time.
That's how you got to look at it.
Right. Yeah, I got it, John. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
You have a wonderful day, and God bless you all.
Okay, Charles, thanks. Okay, Dave from California, you got the mic.
Yeah, California Dave, I already got my question answered. Thank you, John.
Okay, Dave, thank you. JP from California, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yes, John. It's California JP. I just wanted to give you a very new news. Rod Class has been arrested, and he has been arrested on a warrant that was issued by Judge Roberts for failure to appear. So they are still at it hard. And we need to move as soon as possible.
Well, absolutely. I'm kind of surprised that he didn't appear. Do you know why he didn't appear? We did hear about the arrest, but why didn't he appear?
The thing is that the email I received starts by yes in capital letter with an exclamation mark, and it goes by Rod did not go to D.C. for the start of his trial on Monday, October 27th. He instead uses strategy based on equity law. I hope this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, he's not going to win on equity law because he's in a chancery court. They hide behind equity. They'll tell you it's an equity court, but because it's all about money. But it's a chancery court. Look, he's a nice guy. I spoke with him. He's on point with a lot of things, I think, but he's missing the common law faction of it all. And I tried to explain some of that to him. I think he got some of it, but he was receptive. We were on the radio together. It was a really good interview. He's missing a point, and I'm sorry to hear that this has happened. If this was a case that had to do with the juries, we would consider trying to do something now for him. Well, but it's not, so we can't, because we have to stay on point, you know. So we have another case, by the way. It's a jury case out in Oregon, and what happened is the judge is guilty and caught on tape of tampering with the jury, and we have to get involved with that case. And it's one of the people that are running working the National Liberty Alliance plan out there for the grand juries, the common law grand juries in their counties and their states. So that's how it got to our attention. And I did get a copy of the tape, which I'm going to post that copy of the tape maybe tomorrow. I'll put it up online. They'll be doing a video on it and get it out on the video on YouTube. But I'll put an MP3 right up on our page in the breaking news, and I'll probably do something, maybe even put it on the front page for a little while. And when you hear this tape, you're going to fall off your seat on how this judge talked with the jury. And this jury was just like lambs following the shepherd. I mean, they just loved this judge. You could tell the relationship was there, and they were laughing, and all while this guy was, violating this person's unalienable rights. And he tainted the jury, and it was pretty serious. And from my perspective, it was very, very serious. And so we don't have a choice, because this is a poster case for us, just like what's going on with Terry down in Florida, and just like what's going on within Tennessee with Commander Walt. All three of these cases are cases that these are the things that we can help those people in their stress and dilemmas here. But also, we can benefit from this too as the people, because it'll bring to light before the courts what's going on with juries. You know, we can't let the fox continue in charge of the hen house. We just can't allow that to continue. So jury tampering is a daily thing. Go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to bring to this lady that was looking for the legitimacy of the CHP in California, it's been proven that they are a private organization.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and so they have they actually don't have any right to arrest you or fine you, you know, so...
No, they don't. They definitely don't have a right to give you a ticket, that's for sure. And every time they stop you, they're kidnapping you. They're coming under the color of law. They have no real authority to stop you for the things they're stopping you for. You know, now, of course, if you were a criminal breaking an entry and they caught you in the middle of that and they stopped you and arrested you, that would be a valid thing. Unfortunately, they're bringing them to the wrong court anyway.
The weird thing about everything that we're experiencing is the fact that every person that is trying to do something for the people, if they reach a certain level of trust among us, they are being arrested right and left. Look at what Terry in Florida, Rod Class. I mean, they are all over those people.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, the enforcement is an issue that is very important. So I don't know.
Right.
That's all I
have.
We're
working on all of it. We'll get it done, God willing. And again, you know, let me bring the God factor into this thing. And I know sometimes some people get a little upset with this, but you can't have liberty without God. And I'd like to say, look, you know, the reason why you don't want God in this is because you were taught not to want God in this. You know, you were taught to run away from the judicial system. You can't understand that stuff. You need a lawyer. Go get yourself a lawyer if you get a problem. And they taught you to run away from the political thing. You can't figure this out. You need a party. Go get yourself a party. You know, same thing with religion. Go find yourself a priest. Go find yourself a pastor or a rabbi or something, you know. But you can't figure this stuff out. But let me tell you, if we don't come with a bent knee and we don't repent, God's not going to bless the work. Because believe me, we've gone far. This nation has gone far from God. We've abandoned him, ultimately. And only we, the people, can step up and do something here. But we have to have the blessings of God to do this. So let's not keep him out of this factor. But anyway. All right, anything else, JP?
That's it. Thank you, John.
All right, thanks for calling. Next caller, Sarah from Florida. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to bring up a very important thing, especially in regards to Creator. There was a Psalm 118:9. It says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes or kings. And I just want to remind everybody that just because they huff and they puff doesn't make them right. So we really have to reach out in prayer, affirmations. We know what's right. We know what's godly, what's virtuous. And the larger groups that we gather in to discuss this or take action, you know, like when Terry went before the judge last week, there were over 50 people that made sure to be there to show the court that it's not just Terry standing alone. It's a group of people from all over the state that are watching everything they're doing. And it's very important to go to these things as groups, either as the community close by or across the state, because the more eyes, the more witnesses there are, the less they can hide or be able to do wrongdoing in front of so many witnesses. And I just want to remind you, I think I sent you by Skype, John, but I'll double check. There's a PDF of over 1,200 arrests by common law in the UK because they go in groups to witness the wrongdoing and then do affidavits of truth amongst the witnesses and file them with their constable, that the constable has to take action because they filed an affidavit. And that is enough to make the action.
Well, that's a very good point. I did get that, but I didn't read through all that. But that's a very good point. And, you know, we do have to organize better, you know, for the court-watching thing and to be at the courts and to do affidavits of truth. And that's an excellent idea. Not only give a copy of your affidavit to the individual that is in before the court so he can use it to build his case, but to actually, as a group, bring 30, 40, or 50 affidavits to the sheriff at the same time saying, we witnessed the crime. We want you to do something about it and give him the affidavit. Now, he'll take it up to the prosecutor because before he goes in with it, and the prosecutor will throw it out. But look it, then you go to the prosecutor and you pressure him. How come you're throwing this out? We gave sworn statements. This needs to go before the grand jury. And at least it's been recorded, and the sheriff is left there scratching his head. So that's what you need. Look it, you have to have, before you have understanding, there's usually much confusion, Okay, I found that anything that's worthwhile understanding, at first you're looking at things and you're confused trying to figure it out, and, you know, where's the boundaries of the things I'm thinking about? What are the conclusions? What's the foundation? You know, you're trying to figure things out so you can get some kind of a grip on what it is you're trying to understand, whether it's law or the Bible or anything that's really deep. And it's the same thing with anything else, okay? So here, the sheriff has got to get confused about this, because at some point he's got to see the contradiction. And that is why it is so important to get a copy of the Jurist Handbook into the hands of the sheriff, because once they read that, they're really going to be confused. What is going on? Okay, and that's a good place to be. Confusion is a good place to be. It means that you have a new arrival coming up. There's a new station you're going to be stopping in on, because you got to fix it. You got to fix your confusion. You know, you
yep.
can't just say, "Oh well," and you know, no, you got to fix it. You got to find a solution for it. And so he's on the road of looking for an answer to the confusion. And
well,
you give him enough confusion, and he'll find the answer.
Exactly. And on top of that, if we are persistent and the numbers grow, they're not going to know what to do, because it's not going to stop. You know, it's like one wave, then a bigger wave, and then a bigger wave, but not just this county, not just this courthouse. It's statewide, and oh my gosh, it's nationwide, and it's not stopping. So
when we are at that point of explosion, there's no doubt about it in my mind. It's up to the people to make it explode now. It will explode if we take this Quanto and we move with our media campaign and everyone gets involved. It will explode. It will
yes.
go viral, and let me tell you, the pressure will be on.
Absolutely. Now, this is why I'm bringing it up, because the gentleman from Colorado was asking, what do I tell my liberty groups? What kind of action to do? Well, get the most knowledgeable on common law and help those people in the community on the important cases, whether it's, you know, mortgage foreclosure from families that are involved in national liberty, or especially if it's in regards to grand jury. But whatever it is, if we have a group that is watching on all these cases, especially as people are demanding the common law instead of the court, and we consistently go in groups and witness it and file affidavits,
that's the answer, the groups.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to push somewhat hard on this, you know, to get these court watching programs open. But look at, we can set the system up. It's up to the people to connect to it. Let me tell you something. Anybody who's hearing my voice right now and is involved with this thing, everyone should sign up onto this court watchers thing, so that once something comes up with a case or situation in your county, you need to be there if at all possible, and you should do everything you can to make it possible, because it could be you, and you may need to make the call to the group and hopefully get 20, 30, 40 people in. We got to do this for each other, otherwise, and so we already have the base, the base involved in order to do this in quite a few counties across America. So we're ready to start rock and rolling with this. And again, once once we break open and we go viral, these positions are going to fill up very quickly.
Yes. Now, on top of that, it also makes people understand what the real law is, because it's put into motion. So it forces the whole group to learn how to do things. So from there, it mushrooms and mushrooms. It just keeps growing, because the more people know and put it and implement it, the more it happens. Now, what every single person who's having a court case or some kind of friction going on, legal friction, whatever it is, we have to realize this is not just our problem. It's actually breaking through this line of fiction for the nation. It is not just his problem. This is the nation's problem. And this is how we have to look at these especially as we get these court watch groups going, that we have to view it that if we're going to call in the court watch, we're going to follow the most knowledgeable people and double check it so that it's correct as possible to get going, because all of this action will collectively create the need for change that it goes back to common law, because the people will be demanding it on every level, and it just automatically pushes. Everybody knows.
Once the people become aware of common law and understand it, you're right, people are going to want it. As Ron Paul said, you know, freedom is popular.
It is. And just think of this. How many cases are sitting in the courtrooms waiting for their turn while they're listening to this? Mm-hmm. They're going to be turning around, hey, I need your card. I need your info. I like what you did. Because they're going to witness what other people are doing for common law. And they're going to be in shock that they didn't even know about this. Right. Now, I will, when later after the call, I will give you another PDF of a form on especially those people that are forced to get public defenders. There's a PDF that states, like a contract, that, okay, you want me to have you as a public defender, you have to agree to this, this, and this. And the person that made this PDF says no bar attorney will ever agree to sign it, and it will be very easy to refuse public defenders. So I will send that to you as well as Hagen, and they can forward it around.
Okay. All right, we'll take a look at that. Thank you.
I yield.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay, let's take our next caller here. Jason, from where? 925. Jason, what state are you from?
Hey, John, this is Jason from California. How are you?
Jason from California. Thank you. How you doing,
yes,
Jason?
Sir. Good, good. I've been registered on the 100%ers, but somehow I got bumped off. I don't know how, but we'll figure that out later. I'll come back and I'll register early.
Just get in early. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not coming in. I'm not coming in to California in this page either. So maybe Kathleen or Gerard can fix that and give him Jason from California. But go right ahead.
So, yeah, Sarah, you know, hit on some key points with the affidavits. I mean, everybody, that would be great. Court watchers is such an amazing idea. I mean, getting in there and getting everybody involved and recognizing, you know, violations of the people's rights and pretty much educating everybody would be amazing. That's how, you know, that would probably go. And getting on, I mean, it can even go national, winning a huge case or something, and National Liberty Alliance people were sitting in there writing their affidavit, you know, and it could possibly go mainstream, you never know.
Right. Well, we need to do everything we can to push it that way. They're going to resist that for every way they can, but at some point they won't be able to not do it, because then it becomes too obvious. When people are getting all this information from every place and it's big news and yet the networks aren't carrying it, that's when a lot of other new people are going to wake up. So we have to get this out to everybody, and that's the key. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's mainly going to be the alternative media that everybody's going to be seeing these stories on from now.
Right. That's going to break it. And I'll tell you, one of the things with people, we're going to push this real hard next Monday. Once we release the Colanto, look at everybody has got to download this. Everybody's got to print off a few copies, as many as you can, but just print off copies. And then send a copy to your local newspaper. Send a copy to your sheriff. What's going on here, sheriff? Send a copy to your councilman. Send a copy to the news, the network. Everyone should send copies to the network news weekly. okay? We'll be posting new papers, send them too. But we need to be posting the Quo Wanto to the network news so they get it from a lot of people from all over the country. And they're going to see it's coming from different states. They see the postal markings, okay? They're going to know, well, this seems to be big news somewhere, and we're not reporting on it. At some point, we're going to hit the pressure point. They're going to have to report on it.
Right. I'm looking forward to the Quo Wanto. I can't wait. But how can even getting school children involved in sending letters to the sheriff, how could we do that? That could even be a huge story if somehow...
Yeah, you're not going to get into the schools, but what you can do is get into the homeschoolers to get them moving on this, to send letters. But again, you got to be careful how you deal with the sheriffs, you know. We got to let them know we support them. They're just as dumb as a box of rocks as we were. So we do have to be careful there.
A lot of them are tyrannical, too, though. I mean...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, we got to get it. Look at what we have a... We're going to do a campaign at some time in the future once we get in on going into the schools and getting curriculum set up in our schools because we have to get back to the basics, you know. So we'll teach this in the schools. We'll get it back into the schools.
What about
so
everybody?
We've got a lot of other plans to move on after we get into the courts.
I mean, could we make a handbook affidavit, directional, how to fill out affidavits book or something with National Liberty Alliance? Everybody should be able to have an affidavit and know what to do with it.
Right. Well, an affidavit is pretty simple. We do have a copy of our generic affidavit where it has the heading and then the footer, and then in the middle it says, write your story. An affidavit is just telling the story just like you were telling it to someone else, just tell it on a piece of paper and be very specific, especially about the part where they're breaking the law. You know, that's all an affidavit is. And then you take it and you get it sworn to once the form is right, and that's it. Now, anybody that connects with a court watching group, which hopefully we'll set up soon, but anybody who connects with that will have access right there on that page where people can download a generic form for an affidavit right there, and they'll have it. And again, it's just telling the truth, telling what you saw, just the facts, nothing but the facts.
And there's another alternative media site called Cop Block, and these guys sort of give educational, sort of quotes on what to say. You know, am I being detained, for instance? That's their big thing. So am I free to go? You know, just things like that with the cops. But it's more, I'm pointing on the educational thing, but with the court watchers, it could be an educational thing like that also, with the affidavits. I understand how to. I don't understand what an affidavit is. Well, it's like this: just fill it out, and here's the heading, and fill it out. It's that easy, and send it in. So, I mean, everybody needs to try and get educated, as many people as possible. How to get the youth involved too is a huge thing that I'm trying to.
How to get what?
The youth involved. You know, a lot of young people are out there. Well.
Well, that's where we have to get to the schools. At some point, we have to visit the colleges and the high schools and even the grammar schools to talk about, the power and the process and the authority of the grand juries and the juries, and that this is your heritage and you need to participate with this as you get older in life.
Absolutely. Yes, that's perfect. It's what it's all about, is getting that education group going. So,
okay. It's our heritage. This is our heritage.
Absolutely, it is our heritage. And it's funny, sometimes I'll call a detective that's on a case that I read from a alternative media page, and I'll call them. They'll leave the number, so I'll call them, and they're oblivious to Article 6, Clause 3, you're bound by the Constitution. And then I direct them to Article 1, Section 9, Clause 3, no bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. And that's like traffic tickets, asset forfeitures. These guys are oblivious to these
articles. Right, well, they've never been taught. They've been taught only what the Mafiosis Bar Association wants them to know. Look, lawyers are taught exactly what they want them to know, and it's all designed to put us in prison. In statutory prison, And those lawyers are trained to instruct all of our politicians, all of our judicial processes. The judges are under the same rule. They all, it's a huge conspiracy. Whether they realize that they're in it or not, that's irrelevant. They're in this huge conspiracy to destroy common law.
Right.
And that's the heritage.
It is our heritage, yes. Through many years of usurpation. But anyways, John, I appreciate everything. I'll let somebody else get a call. And all your teachings, everything's resonating with me. Gerard, thank you. Everybody, Rick, everybody involved, all the members. I love you guys, everybody. So.
All right, thanks, all right. Jason. Appreciate it. Godspeed.
Right.
Okay, California Ron, go right ahead.
Yes, Ron from California. Couple of points. Great stuff. This is like I probably would like to talk about a million things. But anyway, I just did look up a corpora ficta, and corpora is the plural of corpus. It means a body or a persona or animal. Especially
and the other one is fiction, I'll bet, right?
It, pretty much it's Latin for false, feigned, or contrived.
There you go. So corporate you fiction.
Go.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Corporate fiction is what it sounded like to me. So it was good to have that. Another point in the discussion that was earlier than that from another lady from California that Gerard was involved in too and was talking about. I missed a little piece of it because I, anyway, but there was history there and some of the things I'm familiar with and they were talked about and there was mention of the Second Amendment. But the main point of tonight's conversation, there were several in that conversation, of course, going along with the idea of having the 50 states and the quo ante coming up and the power of states and the people involved in that. And then he brought up the Second Amendment, and I lost continuity. But there is, and I believe I sent this to you also, and Gerard. It's an interesting, you know, maybe you guys get an email, that's another story, but there's an interesting thing that happened I came across this week, and it's about a state report, or status report, that there are three states moving to nullify federal gun control. And that's Idaho, Alaska, and Kansas, and they have all, each of them, passed legislation. Well, here's the point that's similar, but they did pass some legislation saying that basically the federal people, I'll read you a little bit of it here, but before that, what is similar, it's the power of states acting is the thing that's really cool here, because when it comes to fighting violations of the Second Amendment, most Americans assume that they have to go take the battle to Washington, D.C., but in fact, states can take action to thwart federal infringement of the right to keep and bear arms, or in fact, probably the right to do whatever our inalienable rights are, by simply refusing to cooperate with federal enforcement, in this case of gun laws. States can hinder the implementation of federal gun control. These programs depend on state enforcement. Lacking it, they will find it difficult to implement their gun laws and regulations. Now, it's a little confusing, but I think what they're saying is that the federal can't implement this with the states not cooperating. And with enough states on board, enforcement will become, quote-unquote, nearly impossible, unquote. So here we have the people, and here in the case of states, which is people, actually acting and legislating and saying, no, they're taking their rights back as states. This goes along with it. It's a little different facet, but it's really what's going on with NLA. And it's a beautiful thing because they're doing that. And they had tremendous support in Idaho. They had a vote that passed in the House of S. 1332, 68 voted, none against it. And then that's the House and Senate. They had 34 and none against it. Alaska, they had an overwhelming amount for it, for their thing, a thing that prohibits states and municipal agencies from using assets to implement or aid in the implementation of the requirements of certain federal statutes, regulations, rules, and orders that are applied to infringe on a person's right to bear arms or right to due process. That's a good one. Well, it's all good. Or that implement or aid in the implementation, aid and implement, that would be the federal government, Real ID Act of 2005. And then, of course, Kansas did also. They're having a little bit of trouble because they added something, and they're writing another bill onto it, but they expect to pass it. So these states are overwhelming, and at the end they're expecting other states to get involved in this. Okay, well, this is the Constitution, isn't it? This is a marvelous thing. I think it's parallel canon. Another article that was brought to your attention and Deborah in Kern County said that she did talk with him, bring it up, and I know some of us were sending the emails of it, was about where Judge England recruited so many of the federal judges here in California for the misdeed that the federal DOJ was doing about taking money in the millions of dollars from the corporation stuff. And I think, my opinion, that this, at least I like to think that it's because of things like NLA, and I believe, oh my God, how could it not be some aspect of NLA, because everything's going to be federal judges, it's telling them, you know, we're here. Of course, we're giving this other emphasis, but then that before, and in the article, Judge England, and they mentioned two other specific judges, the only thing that one of the other judges could do was recuse himself from this illegal thing going on and say, I thought that the DOJ was for, you know, upholding the law, not for revenue. So he made a comment, but, like, couldn't really do anything. So now, all of a sudden, it comes along. It's interesting in this present time. Right now, with all that's going on, it's like there's cracks happening. And these kinds of things seem to be, to me, it's things are cracking that are in a good way. And they're getting a little bit of, you know, some of these judges, and maybe these guys, have a conscience, and maybe they'll be the ones that will be signing Cointreau. That'll be really interesting, too. So, anyway, I think it's a good thing to see this kind of thing going on. I like to believe it's in part due because of what NLA worked and what's going on, and it's just really good to see this kind of stuff happening. I think, you know, wow. That's what I had to say, and I'm done.
Okay, appreciate it, Ron. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, next caller, John from Connecticut. Go right ahead.
Connecticut John, how you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Oh, pretty good. A couple of things, and I just don't hear people accepting it, or maybe I'm wrong, but when I drive from town to town, it doesn't say settled, it says incorporated, which to me means that the town that I'm pulling into is a corporation and not, in fact, a state or a city or a town or a borough. It's because it's incorporated, it's no longer stating that it's a under the Constitution.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, we're moving to corporatism. They've been moving to corporatism for over 100 years.
And in every town, they have a EIN number. Or a TIN.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's corporate power. And eventually, and people own those corporations. Remember that. You just don't know that yet, and you don't know who owns it. But believe me, the New World Order owns those corporations. There are family names behind that. And every city, every town, every village, every county, every state, including the United States as a whole, has ownerships. And these people think that they own us, and they trade us as chattel. And so we're like livestock, just like cattle. And that's what they're doing. We have a value on our head. It's a pretty sick plan, and that's what's going on. And all they did was just hide behind the trust, which is the government, the true trust that's there, whether it's a county, town, village, or whatever, and then eventually move it into the fact by through incorporation and then do a takeover. We continue to elect people thinking we're electing them to the government, and we are, but they're taken over by the corporation. The control, they're the ones with the hands on the control, so they control it all. And so that's what's going on.
And the reason I brought that up, one of my neighbors had an issue with a speeding ticket. And he says, John, he says, you're into this stuff. He says, what should I do? I says, if it was me, when I get in there, I said, I would address the court. And I said, be very polite. Say, Your Honor, I need to talk to the injured party. And mm-hmm. the judge turned to the prosecutor, and they mumbled and stumbled and tripped over their words, and they looked at him and said, dismissed.
Well, that's a new one. That's pretty good.
Because he says, I walked out of there. He said, I had to call you since I got out of there.
Talking about keeping it simple, let me tell you.
And that's it, the whole thing in a nutshell. A guy that was smoking when he gets in the court. Don't fight it. Don't fight jurisdiction. Say, Your Honor, I'd like to talk to the injured party. I'd like to question them. They're done. They're cooked. There is nobody.
Yeah, but some of these courts will make something up because they just don't want to let you go. But if it works, it works.
Injured party can only be one. It's either going to be the restaurant owner or the bar owner should be there. Cop can't be there because he's just trying to scrape up some more money. So he's not an injured party because they mumbled about the cop and the cop was too busy to be there, and it didn't make any difference anyway. And I've done that three times for people, and I just said, just ask for the injured party. And they just walk away shaking their head and they just dismiss it.
Well, that's pretty good. We appreciate that. We'll give that a try.
Instead of getting upset over it, if you try it and you find out that after using that, the judge doesn't know what to do. He can't answer for it because he's going to be involved in it. And you just asked him correctly and politely, right under their own nose, in their own courtyard, and they have to go ahead and present him.
That's right. You have a right to face your
accuser.
That's right. Where's the injured party?
And that cuts a lot of... And I've seen it happen. And every time that I had a judge walk out of the courtroom was because I asked for that. I said, I need to talk to the injured party. And they just get up and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
all right. Definitely some part of our ammunition here. I mean, you know, that's one, and that might be the first one to pull. But there's other things you can do along that same line that they can't respond to.
Right, because you can ask for you can say I need an affidavit that the injured party is in fact injured.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to sign it, and when it comes to an attorney. And I had an attorney sitting in my car today, or I was sitting in his car today, and he's from a different country, and he says, he's here, he can't practice law. And I said, well, I don't care. I said, the country you're from, I said, it's still under the British accredited registry. I said, you had to denounce your citizenship, didn't you? Huh? And he mumbled a little bit, and I said, because you had to protect the court.
And he isn't licensed to practice law either.
No, and I said, you never had a license. I said, you just belong to an association. I said, if I hired you, I'd have you take underneath your name and say that you're John's attorney. And you sign it as John's attorney. He said, they won't let you do that. So whose attorney is it? It's the court. Because they say, underneath their name, they are the... it slipped my mind out. It's the
underneath the lawyer's name.
Yeah, of the court. It says, "Oh God, I never thought I'd forget that." Anyway, it says that they're not administrative or court. They say they're something else of the court. So they're even signing the name, stating that they're not your attorney.
What, representing the ward of the court or something of that nature?
No, they say the... oh, God.
All right, well, when you think of it, let us know, because I'm interested in...
And I looked up a couple of those things about the 2-cent stamps.
What'd you find?
I put it under Connecticut. One guy uses 3 cents, so there's no squabbling, and he did over 1,000 mailings.
Right, but before we start to do this on a large scale, okay, we want to make sure we can find that regulation that set...
Well, I did. I looked up that regulation, and it automatically brings up, 16? It was 12?
Let's see. There was two of them. Yeah, 12 Stat 701, Chapter 71, which is LXXI. And then there's another one at 12 Stat 705, which is at Section 23. But we need to get the that statute or stat, whatever they call this, We need to get it right out of the book. We got to get a copy of this. We can't just have people telling us this is what it says there. It's not good enough for me anyway. I found the U.S. Code 1726. That I found. And mm-hmm. that married with this, if we can find it, okay, we will use it to the hilts.
Yeah, I'll find it.
If you can spend the time, dig for it and find it, we'd appreciate it. So when you find it, send me a copy and get me on the Skype or call me.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, good talk with you.
All right, thanks, John.
All right.
Okay, next caller, 310-420. Can you give us your name and your state, please?
My name is Tina. I'm in California. And I've just been learning about you all. I've been studying the problems we have with our courts and everything for the last year and a half because I'm in one of those non-judicial foreclosures. And I actually have managed, through the help of someone who's writing my papers, to default the bank's attorneys. I'm right now, they applied to have that default set aside. We just answered that today. My hearing is in Los Angeles on the 17th of this month. And, of course, theoretically, because the banks failed to remove the case from state court to federal court properly, they fail to follow the federal rules, which we have pointed out. Their application to set my default aside should not be granted, but we all know what the judges are like, and I'm not entirely confident that he will follow the law. So I was wondering if there is any advice anyone can give me in regards to how, because I bought the case against them because my bankruptcy attorneys were useless and failed me miserably. The bank is claiming that because I had a previous case dismissed with prejudice when I had no idea what I was doing and the attorney that represented me didn't explain anything to me back in 2012. They keep saying everything is barred by res judicata. I know not everything is, especially when fraud is involved. But I'm sort of confident because I've got this far, but Judge Gutierrez in L.A., he also sent me an order stating that I needed to dismiss the revocable living trust because my property at one point was in my own revocable living trust even though I took it out last year. He sent...
Did you form the trust yourself or did you use... Go ahead.
In 2003 and last year I didn't accept the deed.
Yeah, but who formed it? Did you have a lawyer do it or you did it?
No, I had a lawyer do it.
Okay, so it's not a true trust then. It's a corporate trust.
Yeah. But anyway, the judge decided that he would tell me and sent me an order stating that because I was not a bar-carded attorney, I needed to either hire an attorney or dismiss the Empire Revocable Trust from the lawsuit because I filed in my own name, pro se, and in the name of the trust because they keep sending me everything to the trust, even though I took the house out of it last year.
Is there anything in the trust right now?
I have some things in the trust, not much, because I don't have much anymore because the bank's
Do they failed. Know what's in the trust? Do they have any idea?
No, they have no idea.
Okay, what you need to do is go form a real trust, find out how to do a real trust without an attorney, and, you can fill out the papers, you can go to the bank, you could still get their stupid VIN number, and still you can put it... together, but then now it's a true trust, not a corporate trust, and then you move your things into that.
Time between now and the 17th, we
No,
through the help of this person who's been helping me write my law responses and everything, he refused in a nice way. that he refused the order because it was unsigned by any judicial officer. So they sent me an order stating what I had to do by November the 3rd, which is day, but nobody would sign it. So he sent it back, so refused for, you know, unknown order. So I'm wondering if there's anything that anybody can help me, you know, give me some moral support on the 17th.
Well, it sounds pretty good, but what I would do is try to get as many people as you can into the courtroom and to sit by you. Obviously, they'll be with you. Try to get them into the front row. Make sure they all bring pens and pads, okay? Mm-hmm. And have them sit down there, you know, with them on their lap and, you know, just waiting for your case to come up. As soon as your case comes up, everybody picks up their pen, lifts up their pad, and as soon as that judge starts talking, start writing. They could be drawing pictures. Who cares what they're doing? Just move that pen. Okay, but ultimately what you want from these people is to do an affidavit of what they see and hear in the courtroom. That's all you want. But this shall intimidate the judge, and it may force him to rule for you because this isn't a case that's all that important that he's got to rule for the other side, but generally they do. But if they get frightened, they'll move the other way, especially if it's a federal court.
Well, is there any way I can talk to, you know, to get it out there on your site that so that anybody's on this? Because I'm actually not living where my property is right now because of lots of reasons.
Yeah, we don't post those kind of things on the site. We're really focused towards the people's business to get the grand juries and the trial juries back under the control of the people, and we're very focused.
Part of that in the area that I'm in. Not where my house is in, and I want to learn because I definitely want to be part of that. But how do I get more people when I don't really have people down there?
Well, you can call. Look, it's not going to happen in time for what we're doing with the court watching thing. But nevertheless, you must have neighbors and friends that'll go with you. And no, you don't. Okay.
You know, I don't. I have two friends that will go and turn up with me. That are down in that area, because all the people that I'm working with...
Well, that's a beginning, but if you get a hold of your state coordinator, go to the meeting, see if you can't find others that have court cases in that area, and ask them if they would come and support you, and you'll go and support them. That's how it works. We support each other.
Oh, I'm happy to. I've been supporting people all over the country as much as I can with my limited knowledge. I'm supporting four people right now, but I'm struggling to help them as far as they need to go. I can only go as far as I've learned, and they have no money to hire anyone, so I can only do what I can do.
Well, as soon as you hire a lawyer, you lose. You know,
I
mean, you know, it's just they even if you win, you lose because the lawyer's going to cost you more than what you're going to win anyway. Usually. They'll see to that. So.
My next question is I think it really goes to the heart of what you all are doing. There's a group of 450 or more people fighting One West Bank. They have the backing of George Soros, which I'm sure many of you know, Steve Mnuchin, John Paulson, Obama, and many others in the government. They have literally been handed many assets from other banks, IndyMac, First Federal Bank, La Jolla Bank, on a plate with a sweetheart deal from the FDIC. And we've been fighting the corruption for 5 years now. And we've written letters to the press. I have written letters literally to every newspaper, every TV station that there is in America that is named.
They're all in on it.
They're all in on it, absolutely. We get nothing. Eric Holder, the Department of Justice, the OCC, they are all in it. Nobody.
Absolutely. This is all about the fiction settling accounts from the president right down to your mayor. They're all out there to settle accounts for the bankers and the whole justice system.
Now, what has happened now, which is absolutely unbelievable, many of us over these have written many, many complaints to the OCC and other jurisdictions where we're supposed to write these complaints to. But just in the last week, because One West Bank has been selling their so-called assets, which they're sham assets, to CIT Group, not Citibank, but CIT Group. It's going to make billions of dollars for all the executives, but just in the last few days, everyone who has been sending complaints are getting them all sent back to them. All the original complaints are being mailed back to them saying, there is no standing, you haven't asserted anything, your complaints are worthless. So
they're cleansing the records. Yes, it's called an expungement, and look at most of the cases will be cleaned out that way because people won't even know what to do, and they'll throw it in the garbage, and that'll be that. Life will go on. Look at that's why what we're doing is so important to realize and understand the power of turning the lights on. That's what we are doing. We are turning the lights on. They can't take the light.
What can we as a group of 400 people do to ensure that we get heard? Because nobody is hearing us. Nobody will listen.
Well, to have those 400 people come join National Liberty Alliance, work with us to move everything back to common law, then we'll go back and get justice then.
Because
that's the only way. You're not going to get justice in this environment.
So
not if you're up against those people. If you're up against those people, no way you're ever going to win. Not even a snowball's chance. It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So how long are we going to have to wait if we all join the Liberty Alliance? How long are we going to have
to wait? It could be weeks. It could be months. But look at we're hoping soon. We just got to keep putting the pressure on, write more papers, get more people, putting more pressure. And it's up to the people. Look, if the people want to save America, we will save America. If the people are not willing to do what has to be done to save America, look, a lot of people may want to save America, but if they're not willing to do what has to be done, then we're not going to save it. And part of that, as hard as it is for some to hear, is go back, get into your prayer closet and talk to God, because you need to fix. That's the first order of business of everyone. And that's where it all starts, because it's all about common law, and common law is all about what comes from God. So that's the first place to start. The second place to start is to get active and get this word out and talk to the state coordinator, getting involved, whatever groups are available within National Liberty Alliance we got media discussion groups, we got activity groups. Get involved and get something going here.
Okay, well, we've been involved in that with our own group for a long time, and we're just batting our heads against a brick wall.
Well, it's time to get the pillow out and bat your head against the pillow for a while.
Okay, we'll try. I'm spreading the word. Since I've learned about you, I'm spreading the word with as many as I can.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. And what was your name, Gina, or what was your name?
Tina with a T.
T, I thought it was Tina. So it's not Gina, it's Tina. Okay,
correct.
Thanks, Tina from California.
Okay, bye.
Okay, next person, let's see, 732-455, what's your first name and your state?
This is Gina from New Jersey.
Oh, not Tina from New Jersey, it's Gina from New Jersey.
Right, Gina. How you doing, John?
Good, how you doing, Gina?
Okay. First of all, I want to say you're doing a fantastic job, and what you're doing here at National Liberty Alliance is what's needed, and putting the Most High in charge of guiding us to be successful is what we need. I was listening to one of the callers when they talked about when they'd be faking these grand juries and stuff like that, and when they was conspiring against my family and, eventually kidnapped my children, I have never saw them again. When it first was starting out, I'm not going to be long-winded, but I just wanted to say some points on some of the stuff that I have heard on this call. I went to this lawyer, and I told him, I said, I'm receiving notices from another county. And he said, what county do you live in? So I said, I'm in Monmouth County. He said, why are they sending you notices to come to a hearing in another county? If your jurisdiction is here, shouldn't it be coming? He's telling me it should be coming from the court, Superior Court here. So anyway, he told me not to go. So I didn't go. And eventually I went back and I talked to him, and I told him that they had went on with the case and everything. So he said, what you do, you go to the county and ask for a transcript. So I went to get the transcript, and they had a whole transcript up there, the audio transcript, where you can hear the people laughing, you can hear the judge saying, before the people can even talk about what they're there for, the judge is saying, oh, yes, that's what, just like I thought, it was this, and, you know, like putting the words in their mouth. And so it took me a while to get that. It's like they had to make something up or whatever, so I got that. And as things went on, if I hadn't experienced it myself, I would never have known the level of RICO. I didn't even know it was called RICO at the time, the level of corruption, because of the amount of people that's involved and the amount of agencies that's mm-hmm. involved with my situation. It's like mind-boggling. And if anyone don't want to believe that, I'm willing to show them this whole list of names, agencies, from the local level to the county level up to the federal level, state level. It's just ridiculous. And
right.
people don't, a lot of us here at National Liberty Alliance, we realize that we're dealing with corporations under the guise of government. But they're corporations, and they make the rules up as they go along to suit their agenda. And
absolutely.
As you call them out, or like you say, shed the light on what they're doing, then they'll move on to the next thing just to keep that lie or that fraud going. And
mm-hmm.
especially if people don't understand, you know, law, and obviously they don't, because they're not dealing with law, they're dealing with color of law, they keep on going and they'll tell you, well, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. But at the same time, they're being ignorant to the law after they have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution that they're not even taking heed. And it's just a smokescreen so that the people can keep thinking, oh, well, we have the Constitution, we have protection, we have justice. But you're never, like you said earlier, it's a snowball's chance and you know where for you to
Hades.
Get justice under this system. You're not going to
yeah.
get it.
Well, absolutely.
You're just not
going to
get it.
Get
and
it.
I went
absolutely
to I
right.
went to everybody. I went to congressmen, FBI, nobody. I mean, everybody was getting to everybody. So I'm like, what is going on? What is so hard for somebody to look into a Dreyfus case?
Right.
See my stuff, you'll see that there's more to it than that. That's just one little piece of the conspiracy.
We're going to put an audio up soon, which is going to talk about exactly what you know, you're going to hear for firsthand what's going on. But this is a judge talking to a jury. It's going to blow your mind. This guy is a criminal. He needs to be indicted. He needs to go to jail. But look, at RICO is organized extortion, and that's what these people are doing. This is all organized extortion. It's RICO on steroids. So
exactly, because when they came in on me and took my daughter, they had a court order from another county, and when the cop that came in there, I said, well, can I have a copy of that? I said, because I've never went to court in Middlesex County for this here. What is this here? Oh, well, this is what they gave me. And then they started trying to get me to fight the cop, fight the worker and all that, you know, anything just to get me to get some type of charge on me. And so,
right.
And on the court order, when you read it, it'll say, "Well, we're taking your daughter for the Thanksgiving and Christmas," but I never saw her again. So, what kind of court order is that? Well, somebody writes, "Well, we're going to take your daughter for the holidays, and then after that, but you never see her again." You know, that's crazy.
Right.
And it's just,
so that how long ago did that happen?
On.
That happened.
It's just crazy, but it'll all be in the affidavit. I just have to, you know, I had so much stuff that I wanted, as I did my affidavits, I wanted to be able to just go right to it. I had papers everywhere, so I had to get organized.
Right. How long ago did that happen? That was quite some time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how long. I've been fighting this since 1995.
Yeah,
and it's
long time.
2014 now.
Right.
And that's I'm living proof in a lot with a lot of other
they've,
people.
They've really injured
you. Not going to get justice. Under their jurisdiction, especially when they're breaking the laws against you, this is really going to get intense, and they're going to harass you and try to do anything to you to keep light from shining on all their criminal activity.
Right. Yeah, these people are just evil, outright evil. And
exactly.
They're going to have to pay. They're going to have to give account, if not in this world, in the world to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, I got to move on because we got more people and we're running
okay.
short of time. So. But appreciate the call.
All right, John.
Thanks, Gina. Okay. Let's see, Kansas, Johnny B., up again for bat.
Hey, John, I was wanting to come back around when the gentleman was talking about Missouri and smoking in the bars.
Yeah, that's outrageous, huh? Unbelievable.
That's a whole other story.
I don't know that I could have lived with that in my day.
Well, when they started passing the laws.
Going to a bar and have a drink without a cigarette for a smoker, that's insane.
Yeah, it is. But when they passed the law in a couple of the counties early on, I used to live up in North State, Missouri. And some of the bars followed the law, and then they pushed to get the ordinance changed because they was losing so much business. So now they've divided the people to where you've got the non-smokers going to one side, smokers going to the other. It's
well, yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, if I was back in my day, I would convince everybody and say, hey, let's go. We'll open a private club somewhere. We'll lock the doors and the hell with them, you know? And, yeah, that'll
yeah,
put
sure.
them out of business, you know?
Yeah, you bet. But we got a gentleman in our group here in Kansas that was sharing a story some years back in northeast Oklahoma. They used to set up a traffic stop. And when you got stopped, the officer would hand you an envelope, a self-addressed stamped envelope, and inform you that he was going to escort you to the post office. You were to put $20 in that envelope and put it in the mail in his presence.
Wow.
Now, here's the ringer. The envelope was addressed to the judge of the court. So that
really?
Is extortion by proxy.
Well, absolutely. Look,
I couldn't believe
everything they
that.
Do is extortion. So everything they do. So.
But yeah, he's full of really cool stories. He was part of the trucking team that got the speed limit changed in Iowa when they had the speed limit 60 miles an hour for cars and 55 for trucks.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled together convoys that would run. He ran a couple of convoys that were over 200 trucks. And they run all the way across the state of Iowa, and they didn't stop at a single truck stop, restaurant, nothing. And they held all the traffic down to 55 miles an hour. The state changed the laws because the business owners brought pressure against their elected officials. There is
mm-hmm.
power in numbers, folks. All we got to do is get enough numbers to push it over the hump.
That's the key.
So I just wanted to share that, John. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, John. Okay, next caller, Eric from New York. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, John. Good. How are you doing? Excellent presentation
good.
Tonight. Wanted to get back to the courtroom observation situation. I didn't know what to talk about tonight, and all of a sudden I've sat down. I got a full page of stuff, so I'm just going to start going through some things here. To the woman who called, I think, from New Jersey, who's going through the thing with CPS, she is, boy, it's nice to hear someone at least waking up, and I would encourage her to, one of the places that we can do a great amount of recruiting for the National Liberty Alliance, believe it or not, is in the parking lot and in the lobby of the courthouse. I like to look at court as almost a friend right now. It's a place where we can go and meet other people who are interested in fighting for freedom, as well as make a statement to the court itself that they're being watched. And to Tina in L.A., if she wants to get a hold of me sometime, I know where she can post her information and make a plea for I have a request form on one of my websites where she can fill in the name of her court date and the name of the judge and the address of the courthouse and send out a plea for observers. And this site that I have this connected to, John, it can be with yours if you'd like to set up a page for that, but I can get her going right
well,
away.
Well, absolutely.
It.
We should connect because I thought that was our plan anyway, to create a page
yeah,
and start to organize.
All right, let's do that then with your. I didn't want to put you on the spot by asking you, you know, right on the conference call, but yeah, let's get
oh,
that
no,
going.
Oh, no. I already said that I'd do that because we need to
okay,
do that.
Good.
And if you want to give me a call, I don't know about tomorrow, but maybe Wednesday or Thursday, and we'll talk
Wednesday
and try
Thursday.
To get a write up a what you would like to put on the page, and we'll start with
okay.
that. Get
yep.
You know what you can, and even.
Yep.
If you have any particular pictures or icons or something that you want to get up in there. But just put some things together, and then we'll talk.
Excellent. That sounds good. Yeah, it's courtroom observation gives you – it's and for the people out there who are frustrated – well, first of all, Tina in L.A., go print up a flyer or just a piece of paper that says National Liberty Alliance, We're trying to bring common law back in the courts. Here's what we do. Here's how to get a hold of us. And pass that out in the court parking lot for all these people who are coming in who aren't criminals, who never really did anything wrong, but they got dragged in at the point of a gun for some minor code violation. That's everybody in there, you know, is going to have a gripe against the system. First thing I like to do when I get to court, John, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but first I'd like to say this, to avoid another Chris Walker situation, and we need to stand by him, the gentleman in Oregon, because he was delegated to make a stand now, and we need to stand with him. That being said, I highly recommend that people don't blow off their court date. Even if you're being dragged in by an illegitimate court in an illegitimate jurisdiction, it behooves you to show up. And like I said, use that to your benefit. You can network with people. You can recruit people for the National Liberty Alliance. You can make a statement to the court. You can bring your courtroom observers with you. And always exercise your right to film. They cannot stop you from filming in the lobby. They can try to stop you from filming in the court, even though that's against the law. They've already ruled at the higher levels in the courts that we have a right to film any public proceeding that takes place in a courtroom. Yet they still say, no recording devices in this courtroom. What they do, they don't tell you this, but you can write a letter to the next higher court demanding that they respect your right to film the proceedings and all the future proceedings regarding your case. That really throws them off base a little bit because ultimately they have to grant you your right to film, but they're going to try to deny it to you in the early stages. That's one thing you can use to try to get them to put you in the, you know, just let's get rid of this guy file because he's going to want to film, he's going to bring courtroom observers, he's going to be recruiting people in the parking lot. The more things you can do at court that are within the realm of, you know, let's just say reasonable behavior, you know, you have to be careful because, you know, what you're doing, you don't want to disrupt their proceedings, you don't want to get in people's face, but get out there and start recruiting at the courthouse. It's the best place to recruit for the National Liberty Alliance. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And so, you know, we got to put this page together as soon as possible so people can start using this because this is how people can battle, you know, and we need to grow this particular part of NLA.
I met you doing courtroom observation at the
Bob's. That's right.
I mean, that's where I was able to find out that you were for real. And a lot of these other guys out there like Eric Madsen and these other bozos that are trying to take people, and it's really interesting. Every single one of them is mimicking what you're doing, John, with the conference call and the quorantos, and they all have this format that looks like they're downloading it from you to try to get people away from this, from what your organization is doing, which is actually real good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see, what else did I want to go over here real quick?
But yeah, we need to pull together and look at, we'll find the people particularly that have court cases. They're the ones that really should be signing up for the observation because, again, you know, you get four or five people that all have court cases, you should be in the same county, you should all be supporting each other.
Exactly. How difficult is it to find five people in your county who are getting dragged into court? I mean, there's thousands of times that.
Right, and as a matter of fact, when you're sitting in court and getting to know people or something, or outside the courtroom, or, you know, if they break for lunch or whatever, you know, you get, well, it doesn't really work that way anyway. But anyway, you get to meet the people, like you say, and you can witness for each other. You can make a deal right there. Hey, look, I'll be a witness for you. You stick around and be a witness for me. Whoever comes first, again, you could build up a group
mutual,
right there in
a
the
mutual
court.
Defense pact, I call it, John.
There you go.
You know, and oh, but on the Bob Schultz thing, for all you people out there, Bob Schultz is an epic freedom fighter. He's been in this battle for years. He was in the movie, actually, I watched it the other day, a repeat of Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. One of the guys fighting the IRS, there was Bob Schultz right there. Anyway, when I went to meet you guys in Albany, I don't know if you had overheard this part of the conversation, John, at the lunch table there, but Bob was telling us that New York State, and this is great ammunition for anybody in New York, who's up against property taxes right now, and they're obscenely high in New York. New York State is in violation of the Civics Clause, and that means it's a requirement under New York State law that all school districts in the public school system must teach civics. That means how to be involved in your government, how to identify corruption, how to avoid the nightmare that we've fallen into, what common law is, and they're not teaching it. So while they're demanding that people pay property taxes for the schools, for the children, they're in violation of their own law. Use that against them, and I would go down and say, I'm not paying you a penny in property taxes until you obey your own law and start teaching civics in the school district in my county or in my town. And I would hold that over your local commissar's head, because they're demanding that we obey the law while they are not. And that's a really obvious one. That's a real blatant one. It's one they're going to have trouble squirming out of. So I like to kind of use that against them, because they're not teaching civics, John, and that's why we're in the situation we're in.
Yeah, that started with Tony. Tony's the one that's from Westchester, started to push that, and he talked to Bob, and Bob started working with him on it, and then they really got involved with it. So, yeah, definitely is something. You know, you got to be careful, though, because, you better understand some of the common law and how things work, and it's easy to fight against the town when they come out after your property for property taxes if you know how to do it, because they really can't. They're doing it in a process called in rem, so you have to understand that. But if you're going to hold your taxes back for that, beware, they're going to try to come out after you on it anyway, and you really have to form a movement on that to do that. That's kind of a difficult one, but it is something that could be done. Look at, if all the people rebelled and started to say, no, we're not going to participate, what are they going to do? Can't put everyone in jail.
I'll tell you just a brief situation here. What they have done is, because people are saying no, the county of Monroe, which is where Rochester, New York is in, no longer sends the county out to seize people's property under tax delinquency. What they do is they hire a local law firm under a legal services contract, which they're in violation of the law on that, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
And this local law firm, Phillips and Lytle, identifies all the tax delinquent properties in Monroe County, and then Phillips and Lytle, the attorney, the law firm, sets up a capital management company in Ohio called Tower Capital Management,
and they purchase the debt. Yep.
And then they put
what
a
bunch of fun. You want to talk about RICO on steroids?
Oh, you want to?
That
they're digging
fraud at its highest.
Big time. They're digging their own grave, John. Because
absolutely.
I tell you, people hang tight, because it may be 10 or 15 or 20 years, but all we have to do is get a constitutional sheriff in all these counties who's going to serve the papers and exercise common law and protect our rights, and it's over for these people. We can go get them when they're 70 in retirement and put them in prison. We have to let them know that we're determined for the long haul.
Right.
And so anyway, and then this Tower Capital Management, which is a straw corporation of a local law firm that's identified all the delinquent properties, they put a single party lien against your property, and it just piles up and piles up until after 20 years of no tax payment, a local law firm owns your house.
Right.
And I think it's a lot easier to fight. And see, that's because people have said no, John, and I think we're getting close to where we want to be, or at least closer, because of responses like that from the county.
Yeah, well, we're going to take them down. Look, I believe we're going to be successful in what we're doing, and once we get to the other side, they're going to pay.
Yep, I agree.
Well, let me move on, because we still have some more callers. It's getting late.
Sounds good. John, I'll talk to you this week.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, 617-549, first name, your state. We only got a minute or two because I got to move on. We got some people on the line. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, John. My name is Cynthia. I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Cynthia from Massachusetts. Okay.
Hi. Yes, I'm really enjoyed listening to the show, and I feel really hopeful for all the endeavors under your organization. I have been, staying in touch. I receive your emails, and I just feel like I'm at this point in my life right now. I'm more prepared to get more actively involved. But first, let me ask you: do you have offer any paid positions within, or is it?
Well, there are paid positions coming up, but not until we get into the courts as administrators. Right now, everything is voluntary. We're here to save America. But once we start to move into the courts, we have to fill 4 positions in every county called administrator's position. We administrate the process of the juries, both grand jury and trial jury, both on the state and federal level. And that's a full-time job. anybody interested in that job, as a matter of fact, anybody interested should go back and re-listen to the video on the front page because we added that in there. So the video on the front page of NationalLibertyAlliance.org talks about this a little bit and talks about the salaries involved. But in order to get involved, we will have the look, eventually we'll have this course up. We do believe it'll be this week. We were supposed to be last week, but it didn't happen. But in any event, once we get that up, you go in, you sign up for the course, and you check the box that you want to be an administrator. And now you go through the course, and you'll be in position to take that job in your county. The first four people that are most excelling in that course at the time that the positions might open, those are the four people that would get those positions. But bear in mind, you're not governed to work in your own county. You can work in the county next door, too. So if you miss out on one county, you can work in the next county next door. So, but anyway, those will be coming up as soon as we get in. And their professional salaries, there'll be an extended education beyond the course that's online. There's some other courses that we're putting together. But basically, it's a good rounded understanding of American history, history of the grand jury, the process and procedures, common law, and a little bit of constitutional law, but also the study of the Constitution. We have a couple of constitutional courses in there. So it's exposure to that. Once you're exposed to that and you're focused, you'll pick up on all of it.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. I mean, I am, a Bible believer, and I've worked, I'm a master's level clinician and worked in the field, including managed care insurance. But I was booted out. It's a corporate issue that it sent me down this path of just insanity, you know.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you short a little bit because we have a few more people and we're running to the end of our program. We only got about 8 minutes left. But
but
you
I'm
did bring
just
up a, you know, a good point.
There's a merger of the mental health. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's apparently here, at least, there's a merger of the mental health corporation industry in the courts now. So
that's a wrongdoing. It can't be done, and we'll have to deal with that once we get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we're not going to be able to do anything to stop these things until we get in. Look at how many people are against Common Core and Agenda 21, and yet we can't even get a foothold in there. And there are plenty of people against those two programs. We're not going to stop them. The only way we're going to stop them is to get into the courts. We get into the courts, believe me, they will stop.
Yeah, that's it. That's the key. And I am so happy to hear, you know, all the progress that you all have been doing. And I hope to, you know, I plan to become more actively involved. So God bless you.
Call up your state coordinators. Get involved. They're getting together to form some meetings up there in the New England area. There'll be a few states working together up there and get involved. Absolutely. So.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Cynthia.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, Ed Strain. What state are you calling from?
Arizona Ed.
Arizona Ed. Go right ahead, Ed.
Yeah, Ron from California mentioned the judges stepping down. When I read that paper, I had the same thought, that this sounds like maybe National Liberty Alliance is doing some good. I also wanted to pass on that two sheriffs responded to the sending of the handbooks. One asked for extra ones for his lieutenants, and the other one just acknowledged that he received it.
Well, both of them are good. That's good for both, but better on the first one, of course. That's great. All right. Anything else, Ed?
No, thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. And any other state that hasn't got those handbooks out, let's get them handbooks out to the sheriffs. It's very important to get that campaign moving. We're going to be following up on the sheriff soon, but we want everyone to catch up and get that done. Gary, if you're out there, you know, make sure you're taking a count on what states are done and what states aren't, because we got to move on to the next step with the sheriffs. Okay, next caller, Kimberly. What state are you calling from? Kimberly M.
Hey, it's Marge from California, John.
Oh, how you doing, Marge?
Hey, I'm doing fine, and I just had a vision. I think the court-watching thing is absolutely tremendous. Only I think we ought to go in there with some professionalism. And I was just envisioning shirts. Okay, now when I say T-shirts, I'm not talking about the $8.95 pullovers. I'm talking about some long-sleeve black shirts. And the front can say NLA Judicial Watchdog. Now, it's not saying NLA Court Watcher, because we're a watchdog. We have teeth. So it's NLA Judicial Watchdog, and then on the back, it'll say Liberty is Popular, and then it'll have the bulldog face below that. So if someone is just walking through the court parking lot with this shirt on even, you know, and handing out flyers for our organization, you know, soon we will become so popular, they'll say, oh, my gosh, can you imagine how it would be, John, to be a judge and have all it would take would be about four of these guys coming in ahead of time, sitting in the front row. Never, you know, everything is all professional. You're looking down at your noteboard and your pens like you're talking about. Just sit down, not say a thing. Your deportment is just impeccable. And just sit there with these incredible black shirts, now black, to match the judge's robes, but all of the letters are in NLA, Judicial Watchdog, on the front. Then Liberty is Popular on the back with the bulldog face. I think
I kind of like it, and I think you should talk with Eric and work something out here. We'll try to design that thing and let's see what Eric thinks when you and other people get involved with this, and let's see what we can come up with, and then we'll see what we can get designed.
Right, because we don't want to make it a big fashion thing here. You know, we can start out with four mediums and four larges and four extra larges or whatever, but we just got to be able to outfit these guys so that if somebody calls upon, you know, some court watchers, we can put four people together very easily with these incredible, intimidating black tops here with this lettering. It just came to me and I had to share it because, you know, that would just, if I were a judge, that would make me a little nervous. And
okay.
we always sit in the front row, always.
Absolutely. Always go to the front row. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's it for now.
Thank you much.
You got
okay.
it.
Okay, let's take our next caller, Sarah from Florida.
Hey, John, it's Sarah again. I just was reading David. He's also involved in NLA in New England. He wrote on Facebook, if he was a county sheriff, he would use the daily local paper to educate constituents on the common law rights, front page, of course. He would also use his county notary to use a three-step notification process to place permanent estoppel on any unconstitutional legislation being passed down from the federal government. Now, I just want to bring up that I think the county sheriff is given space in the daily local paper because, I mean, for decades, you always see them listing who was detained, arrested, ticketed, etc. So I think that's something.
Well, absolutely. You know, if the sheriff has something important to say, he wants to get a message out to the people, absolutely he should be able to commandeer the paper into writing something pretty close to the front page, if not on the front page.
Yeah.
If it's that important, maybe on the front page. But he should be able to get on page two or three easily. And there shouldn't be any gripes because that's the purpose of the news. And you know what? If the news doesn't want to do their job, which is why they're mentioned in the First Amendment, then they need to disappear as the news. We need to get rid of them and let someone else take up the news. And we have a lot of news out there, media people that have not been doing their job, and I think their licenses need to be terminated and given to others.
Yeah. Now, just think of this. as we're sending out letters to the county sheriff, we can download the mandamus, or we can wait for the quaranto and ask him to put it in the local paper.
Yeah, well, the quaranto is quite long, though, but we are working on taking pieces out of that so it could be digested in a smaller, you know, paper or something, but yeah.
Some kind of official notice that we can put pressure on these county sheriffs to put into the paper to let the community know, because it does affect their lives, and especially these oath keepers, they should be very happy to do this,
right?
That we're noticing the people, what's going on, especially since they are allowed and given use of the local paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we don't have any major media carrying it, so if we can get some kind of PDF ready for that, that it's, you know, a few paragraphs.
Well, get together with Sheila tomorrow morning. Tomorrow evening is the call at 8:30. Get onto that call, get involved. Go up to online, you'll get all the information. You can go to our regular weekly call page, and you'll see the information on how to join that call is there also. Or you can go to media, highlight media, and then click on media campaign, and on that page also is listed the information how to join that meeting. With that, I got to move on to the next caller, because we've got five more callers,
okay.
And I'm only going to give them a minute apiece. So
one more quick question. I didn't get anything else about the 100%er, so just let me know.
That's coming. Yeah, we'll talk about the talk. Call your state coordinator on that. We're coming up to something. So, okay?
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
All right. 503-718, you got 30 seconds to a minute, and we got to move on because we're after midnight, and we still have a few more callers. But go right ahead. What's your name and state? What's your name and state?
FBS in Oregon.
What's your first name?
Ronald.
Ronald from Oregon. Okay, go right ahead.
Wow, it's an amazing thing for me just to imagine that I'm on a call tonight such as this, and with the many other ears. I need to ask, John, how many others are on this call tonight? Can you say?
Well, we had a couple of hundred. Some people come on, they come off. Usually we end up before the night is over between those who are on early and leave, and then those who are on late. It could be 300, 350.
So is that what the count is approximately right now?
Well, the account right now is 102, so we're coming to the end of the evening.
Okay. When you said
it changes
about...
all night long it changes. People will come in for an hour, then they'll leave. Some people will be here for the whole thing. Some people get in late. Others listen on the audios that we post up. Some people are listening in on the page and aren't even coming in here. They're just on the page, but we have a dead program tonight. Or they'll go onto the radio and listen live there.
Okay. Well, let me break in and ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
The case you said the case that draws your attention here in Oregon, is that with the Walker family?
Yes.
Okay. And then with the quaranto filing you're going to be hitting the courts with, did you say now for each of the other states outside of New York that the groups would need to be ready to get their costs for the fee involved to get that filed?
No, we don't pay to file for anything.
Okay.
We're just filing these papers in the court as informations, which grand juries do or should be doing. They haven't done in years, probably 100 years, but that's part of their job. So we're filing informations. This case, we're filing a quaranto, and that's going to be filed in every federal court from the state, okay? So if there's three districts in that state, that state's going to file in those three districts. If there's 20 judges in that state, that state's going to serve 20 judges. Every state's going to do their own. Plus, we're going to do it again. We're going to duplicate it from the national level, from Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. They're going to file in every federal court.
Okay.
So it's going to be a big, big campaign.
Okay. But I'd just like to make some comments now.
Let me ask you to move it a little quick because it's late. We've got three more callers, but go ahead.
Okay. First comment I want to make or message I want to put out is to Tina in California. She can call me back at 503-718-1858 at her convenience, and quite possibly I can put some more information in front of her that she may be able to do something with. I liked hearing her story. I'd just like to say, too, to all those that have been plundered and been through pillage in their life and are still alive and able to participate with the NLA, boy, my hat and my heart goes out to you. And any of those that you know that are still alive and on the front lines against what I now recognize very clearly is the Lawyers Guild. See, mm-hmm. They've been in power for a very long time, and we all know, and we hear very seldom ever hear, but the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto have been well in place for many, many years. And I don't know. I think from where I sit, the greatest stance that we have is what we're doing now with this wave of information. And kudos to Marjorie and that shirt idea. I think that's a great idea. And
I like that too, yeah.
Certainly no better arena for something like that to be worn. I've been in there enough times myself and had my own costume. And on that note, as far as information and awareness for our youth and our children, since I know more and more people are probably considering at least a homeschool and should be on some level, and I would like to think we all are anyway, but there's a great man who still lives, I believe, whose name is Dan Pilla Sr., and he's easily found on the web by going to thefreedomcalendar.com, and he's produced a book, a money book for children, I think, at the third or fourth grade level, as well as many other little slogans and slogans that we all can learn from, like the idea that the gal had with the shirt. But Dan Pilla Sr. and the Freedom Calendar. I've always felt that calendar is one that should be in the home of every household and on every school wall.
Mm-hmm.
But,
all right, Ron, thank you. Why don't you call back another time? You sound like you got a lot of other interesting things you might want to bring up. But in closing, I want to move on. You got any final point?
Thank you. I yield and grateful
okay.
to all tonight.
Appreciate your call, Ron. Thank you. Look forward to talk again. Tammy from New York. I got to push you along, Tammy.
Okay. Can you hear
drill.
Me, John?
I can hear you, Tammy.
Okay. Hi, John. Hi, everybody in L.A. Got a question. I want to find out the gentleman that was talking about videotaping in the court.
That's Eric.
I want to find out, what was his name, Eric?
His name is Eric. He's from Monroe County.
Oh, Eric from Monroe. I want to find out if I can get his email because I want to – what is going on in this? At the in the media, media radio station – and so
Eric, if you're still here, get into the queue, and I'll unmute you so you can give this information to Tammy. But go right ahead, Tammy.
Right. So what's going on is me and Sheila has been brainstorming, and then we have other people who are also in the media group. And so we were thinking about allowing some of the members who have pertinent information or knowledgeable specific pieces in the common law per different situations, like interviewing them, bringing it in on the station, and maybe not only asking them some questions, but also having callers, to ask questions if they need to. And so he brought up some really good information, even as far as the young lady who was speaking about being in the court system, which really blew my mind, since I think she said since 1994 and 1995.
Yes, they've taken her children that long time ago.
And just what she said, how it was done, they were only going to be taking them for a certain time or a specific amount of time.
Over the holidays.
She never got her kids back.
Never got her kids back.
And it's not, I'm a mother.
I believe she hasn't seen them since either. But Eric has been unmuted, but go ahead.
Right, just that impact on her and her children.
I know.
I mean, that's unimaginable.
It's
that's
a
unimaginable.
Life. Yes, there's lives destroyed.
And also, we want to be able to give also the opportunity to people like her, and I'm not sure what her name is, to be able to just share their story, because I do believe it will be a great plug-in and ideas coming out as well as pertinent information for common law. Because
absolutely,
if you want to, if you really want to serve people, and you know, like I know, John, that what did Jesus do? He met people where they were. He met their need, and they trusted him because he did. He didn't make people meet him where he was. Jesus, God always meets us where we are. And so if NLA, the media group, can some kind of way meet some of these listeners and even some of the members where they are to bring that information, that's what's going to make this go huge in the media group.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, Eric has been unmuted. So Eric, if you want to give her the information, the email.
Sure, I'll give you. I'm going to give you. I kind of rely on the old telephone thing because email is just hit and miss. But so here, I'm going to give you a phone number. You're most likely going to get an answering machine, but I'll get right back to you within 24 hours. Here's the phone number: 585.
Yes.
748.
Yes.
4964. That's 585-748-4964. And you can feel free to call me in regard to courtroom observing matters. If it's specific to common law, call John. But if it's for courtroom observation, you can give me a call. John and I are going to put something together for the website. And then if people have an immediate need for some information on courtroom observation, I'll be happy to talk with them. You know, give me a call.
Right. Because on your interview, Eric, you then can share that and that information, you know, once you finish the interview, where they can go on the NLA website. So it's all, like, you know, leading back, it's all connected to common law. NLA/common law, because we know NLA, per what John said, is going to be eventually fading out. So
right.
Okay, that's all I have for right. I got some other things, but you know, let somebody else get their little minute in. So thank you guys.
Thank you
so much.
You had a long minute there.
Sorry, John.
Get off the phone.
Okay. Good night,
baby. Thanks, Tammy. Good night. Bye bye. Okay, let's go to our next caller here. I don't have a name here. Yun, Y-U-N? Y-U-N? Okay, next caller. Wireless caller. You got 1 minute. What's your first name? And it's a 845-427. So you're from New York.
Hi,
what's
John.
Your first name?
Hi, John. It's Sheila.
Oh, Sheila. How you doing, Sheila?
Oh,
Sheila
good.
From New
good
York.
And you?
Good.
Yeah, I'll
thank
be
you.
Quick. I just want to invite everybody out to the meeting tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I just want to put a plug in. Please come out and join us because we can definitely use you. So all your ideas or suggestions. And one other quick thing, what would you think about like a CPS division.
Yeah,
like
let's talk about
dealing
that.
Dealing with CPS.
That,
so
let's
maybe
talk
we
about
can talk
that.
About it later.
Yes, I like that.
Can you give a number,
okay.
Sheila?
Pardon?
Is there a number to join you? Are you set on another program or something like that?
Yeah, tomorrow night is going to be, this is the media program for tomorrow night. It's the media meeting. For the media campaign, and if you go up to the website, nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight media, you get the drop-down box, click on media campaign, and Sheila's phone number and email is up there.
Okay.
So, but if you want to give your phone number, Sheila, go right ahead.
Yeah, 845-789-4576.
Yeah, I was just wondering if that was a conference call number that you were going to have on that you would give.
Yeah, that's a conference. Oh, there's another number for the
conference. No. The conference number is up on the media campaign page.
Right.
You highlight media, and the box falls down, then you click media campaign, and it's right there on the front page.
Right. Phone number and access.
Because I don't have it on
there. So. Okay, let me move to my last caller, if we're done, I hope.
Thank you,
okay.
John.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Eric. Okay, our last caller. Well, actually, there's two more callers. We'll do one more. Ronald, again, from Oregon, if you can go quick, Ron.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something real quick. I had burning desire to put this out here. There's a great lady that's written a great book. It's called Overcoming the Devastation from Legal Abuse Syndrome. Her name is Dr. Karen Huffer. But this is a really well-written book and helped me a lot, and I believe it could help many, many more and thousands more. And it's part of that paradigm shift, as I see it as well, because there's many ways that we pick up this knowledge to figure out how we've been duped from our own minds in this criminal justice mm-hmm. system. Anyway, that's all. Just kudos.
Give the name of that book again and the author.
The author's name is Dr. Karen Huffer. And the name of the book is Overcoming the Devastation from Legal Abuse Syndrome.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And it hits at the core. It's a great book. It needs to be read by all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Appreciate it. Okay, last caller. Yun G or something. It's 570-309.
Yeah.
What's
your hello?
Yeah, what's your first name and your state?
Gloria.
Oh, Gloria. How you doing, Gloria?
Yeah, I want to tell people something. You know, you talk about common law. You actually declare right on the court paper that you are moving in common law. Just write down court of common law. And you basically state that you are a man of the, you know, such nation. And here is my affidavit, and you guys have to rebut it. That's
right.
It.
It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Absolutely. I am one of the people of whatever state you're in, and in this court of record, defined court of record under common law.
Exactly.
And your
affidavit,
and you're done. You got a prima facie case.
Yeah, so I give a party 30 days.
Right.
If they don't rebut it, it is a prima facie evidence.
And here's my wherefore clause, and this is what I want.
And someone makes the law. Okay, there's a case laws that the sovereign makes the law. This is how you make the law. If they don't rebut it, that's your law.
Okay.
So
if they don't respond, you give a second
opportunity to cure. You file it again. This is what I filed, and nobody answered. I give it 14 days.
Right.
And then if they don't answer, that's it. The court, you announce the court. And say the other party defaulted, the case closed. That's it. Very simple.
It doesn't take a lot to write a case, really, when you get down to the common law process, because really,
a real court case is always the
affidavit. But before you go on, what state did you say? Did you say West Virginia?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead then. Finish up.
Okay, so basically, it could be just a two-page, very simple 2-3 page. That's it. And actually, you know, I've been helping my sister. She actually got sued after she hit somebody about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. The lady came out perfect condition. She said, "Oh, are you okay?" And you know, and she was fine. And all of a sudden, I guess she was looking for money. And she sued my sister for she cannot serve her husband, her duty. She has a physical problem, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the attorney actually hired an attorney, and the attorney wrote the statement. And there was no affidavit, nothing.
Right,
so
they do this all the time, yeah.
Yeah. And then says she was an operating motor vehicle, and she hit this person on this highway, blah, blah, blah. So basically what she said is, I'm not a driver. I do not drive on a highway. I do not have any motor vehicle. I do not drive a motor vehicle. And if a common sense, if somebody got hurt, it would have contacted me, but never contacted me about anyone. So I believe this claim is a fraud. And then rebut it. So that was it, just 2 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the attorney cannot move the court. because it says right on the top, it says a common law.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the clock.
Well, it is quite simple, but they do often push forward even without affidavits, even without rebutting. It just goes on and on and on. They love to make their money. By the way, but that's how they make it.
Actually, yeah. Clark looked at it, and they knew that this thing is not going to go anywhere.
They have to have the affidavit.
Clark said to my sister, you have to pay $140, file a motion, a fee, and file a motion to dismiss. So then she rejected the offer and said, I am not an attorney. I cannot pay $140.
Right.
And the other party defaulted and rebutted again. And the party has 14 days. That's it.
Right. That's simple. That's right, because they never will respond. So.
Yeah, so people have to know that people are powerful. People are sovereign. One of the sovereign. The state is sovereign state. Is made out of the people. We made the state small, small state, and then big as a state, we also made this big state because a state big with a big S means the people and also association and persons. They're all together, mixed together, and it's called S state. Okay, there's a small S and there's a big S.
Mm-hmm.
So basically. We the people actually form that state, and we move with our own rules and regulation and law of a nation and common law, custom, whatever. And depends what it is. You're a person or you're a man or a woman. So basically, you are sovereign. We are the one who created that state.
Right.
So you can move
well,
as
absolutely.
I am one of the sovereign. And you make the laws, you make the rules, and
that's right.
We
ordained and established this constitution, and it's the same
exactly.
thing in the state as it is in the federal. So it's the people's constitution.
So it's the problem is that people do not understand how they created this country and who they are. It's the main problem is that it's a spiritual journey.
Well, that's why we have to give people exposure to all of that. That's what our civics course is going to be all about, to expose them to all those things. And again, people don't have to retain it. You don't have to be able to articulate it. You just have to understand it and be exposed to it and then just start living in it and then everything will come to you naturally at that point.
But anyway, I gotta bring us to an end.
So if you got a final word or two, go ahead.
So anyway, people move. The court also move in capitalized name, you could basically either come in as an agent, you can come in as a beneficiary, you can come in as an executor, and be responsible and say, hey, I'm here to establish a claim. Is anybody has a claim against me in the capitalized name? Looking for true evidence, and you will have a remedy. Really, once you start doing that, the court doesn't know how to move. The attorney really they don't know how to move the court.
All right. Well, let me end with that, Gloria. I got to go. It's very late and way beyond our time. Appreciate the call, and next time maybe you call a little earlier. Okay, with that, we're going to end it. Thanks, everyone, for coming. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And also, don't forget, we have our Bible studies on Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get more information on that on our weekly call page. And also tomorrow, Tuesday, we have the call for media campaign. People should get involved in that. Again, that's tomorrow evening at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And that information also is up on our weekly call. Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, see you next time.